I'd like to call the meeting to order this evening. If you could find a seat, and if there's a seat near you that's available, you may want to raise your hand or indicate. So for those looking for a seat, if you look at folks that are raising their hand, you can go in that direction, and that means there's an available seat for you. We'd like to begin with roll call.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, here you
go. Can you hear me now? I was trying to streamline the process, Mr. Mayor. Mayor Winfield.
Present.
Vice Mayor Barrett. Councilmember Joyce Jones-Ivey.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Thank you. If we could go to our first item.
First item?
First and only. So, Amanda, I think you read that.
Sorry about that, Mayor.
That's okay.
So, discussion and possible action regarding the Town of Oro Valley Golf operations. And then real quickly, if there's a Mr. or Ms. Rosinski, if you could stop by over here real fast. Thanks so much.
Okay. On behalf of the council and staff, I'd like to express our appreciation to the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene for hosting this special session. At the request of the church, the building needs to be vacated by 10 p.m. So I will be adjourning, I will be conforming. I will be adjourning the meeting by 9:45 p.m. to give everyone the opportunity to exit the building by 10. Tonight's meeting is focused on the Town of Oro Valley Golf's operations. Deliberations like tonight have become more common across the nation as golf course facilities have become increasingly challenged economically. For this council, our discussion tonight builds on the January 2019 council study session, the February listening session, and approximately six executive sessions. The executive sessions focused on helping the council better understand the contractual obligations between HSL, Troon, and the Town of Oro Valley. Because of the state's open meeting law, tonight's meeting is the first since January that the council will have the opportunity to speak on the town's golf operations in a public setting. We look forward to receiving community input per our usual process. My apologies. If you wish to speak, please complete a blue card, which are located in the foyer, and give them to the town clerk, which this evening is Amanda Jacobs. To Amanda Jacobs, and Danielle is assisting her. let's see. The blue cards can also be used, if you wish, to share your views without speaking and simply indicate that you do not need to speak. So in other words, you can write on this blue card. You can write on as many of them as you would like. If you would prefer to do that than to speak. You can also submit your written remarks tonight to the town clerk or send the town manager and council an email or letter. Since we need to adjourn at 9:45, the meeting is organized to allow time for a staff presentation, public input, and time at the end for town council discussion. I'll be conducting the meeting as follows. Following my introduction, Town Manager Mary Jacobs and Town Attorney Gary Cohen will provide a brief presentation to help set the stage for tonight's discussion. I'll then open the floor to blue cards. When I invite you to speak, I will also name the two subsequent speakers. And we'll do this so that we can try to keep things moving as efficiently as possible, with the idea of giving as many of you an opportunity to speak that want to as possible. There are three chairs reserved up here at the front, so I'll be inviting the speakers, and then we'll have individuals in queue as we go. So you want to be alert to when your name is called. I'll apologize now that it's likely that I will mispronounce some of your names. At 8 o'clock, we'll take a 15-minute break. After the break, if there are still additional people who would like to speak, there will be an additional 30 minutes. Approximately 1 hour is reserved at the end of the meeting for town council discussion. To ensure each town council member has an equal time to speak, I've directed Ms. Jacobs to select a member of her staff to serve as a timekeeper, and that's Amanda Jacobs, who will be our timekeeper. Each council member will have 7 minutes to speak in the following order: Vice Mayor Barrett, Council Member Rodman, Council Member Nicholson, Council Member Pena, Council Member Solomon, Council Member Jones-Ivy, Mayor Winfield. The balance of the time will be left for council action, if any, or to be shared equally among council members wishing to speak. Since there are many people in this room, I would like to allow as many speakers as possible within the time reserved. Therefore, I would request that if you don't need the full 3 minutes, to shorten your remarks and allow time for someone else. You may also decline to speak when I call your name if you feel your remarks have already been covered about what you were going to say. I'd like to remind each of us that we are in a dedicated house of worship. I could mistakenly call you brothers and sisters tonight, but anyway. So we're in a dedicated house of worship. Please be respectful in your conduct, and I ask this evening that you do not applaud, jeer, or disrupt the meeting in any way. Anyone not abiding by these simple rules will be asked to leave or escorted out by a peace officer upon a second warning, and this statement constitutes the first warning. I do have a sense of humor. And any disruption, and really, I mean, this is all about just courtesy towards one another, and to ensure that each of you that are wanting to speak have that opportunity. Also, as you applauding, jeering can affect some individuals into not speaking or can embolden others. I recognize there are a wide range of emotions and interests associated with tonight's topic, but it's my hope and expectation to have a civil and safe setting that all may feel comfortable to appropriately express themselves at the podium or here at these tables. Restrooms are available in the back of the room. Please, so if you go, I think you go to the right, head towards the Welcome Center. Again, a reminder that we'll have a break at 8 o'clock. Since we don't have our usual timer, if you've joined us at the Town Council Chambers, the church has been good enough and has arranged to have a countdown video to display the 3-minute time limit. Should be visible to you when you speak, but if you miss it, Ms. Jacobs will let Amanda Jacobs, not to be confused with Mary Jacobs, will let you know when your time is done. And Amanda Jacobs will also, for the council, she'll let us know when our time is done too. In order to maximize the time for speakers, like I mentioned, I'll be calling several names at a time as a lineup. When you hear your name, please get up and proceed to the front. And these seats, depending on where you're seated, but they're up here at the front, there's 3 reserved seats. So with that, we will proceed to the staff presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor, members of council, ladies and gentlemen. I'm pleased to summarize the information provided to you in your packet for tonight's agenda topic. I'll be doing most of the presentation tonight, but I would like to introduce the team here at the table with me. On my far left is Gary Cohen, the town attorney, who will be doing a brief portion of tonight's presentation. Chris Cornelison, assistant town manager. Stacy Lemos is the chief financial officer. To my right is Rob DeMore, president of the Purvey Division of Troon. And Christy Diaz-Trahan, who's our Parks and Recreation Director. We and other staff in the audience will be happy to address any questions you have later in the evening. As you know, the town council is currently in the process of reevaluating the long-term use of the town's community center and golf operations. The recent focus has been on the golf side of the equation, which will then provide information to assist in evaluating future changes at the community center. In January, as the mayor mentioned, town staff presented to council some background information on this topic. I reviewed the initial acquisition, the original financial projections, and short and long-term capital investments identified during the acquisition process, and also summarized the capital investments the town has made to date and reviewed my recommendation and analysis of last year. Since our time is limited tonight and the slides from that meeting are posted with the backup materials, I will only briefly touch upon that. Much of the presentation will cover what is in the summary document available this evening, which has been posted with other supplemental backup information on the town's website. For those of you who have it, it says Summary of Town Manager's Analysis of Golf Operations. This is the only document that has been distributed by the town this evening. Any other materials that have been distributed are not from the town of Oro Valley. The town acquired the former El Conquistador Golf and Tennis Club in December 2014 for $1 million. The council also adopted a half-cent sales tax at that time dedicated to supporting the anticipated capital and operational costs of operating the golf courses and the associated community center programs and facilities. The acquisition also included a provision that the town assume the 5-year contract with Troon to operate the golf courses, food and beverage, tennis, and other operations. At the time of the purchase, the initial projections predicted that following an investment of $2.8 million in capital improvements, the golf courses, restaurant, and tennis operations combined would break even after 5 years. And I have on a later slide our financial information to date. In addition, an assessment projected that there would need to be about $9.2 million in various capital expenditures over 10 years, of which an estimated $6.4 million would be for the golf courses. I'd now like to turn this over to Town Attorney Gary Cohen to review the contractual obligations.
Can you hear me? My name is Gary Cohen. I'm a partner at the law firm of Mesh Clark and Rothschild, and I'm honored to serve as the counselor to the town of Oro Valley and this 7-member body of the mayor and council. A few precatory comments before I turn to 3 of what I think are the key contractual obligations. First of all, understand lawyers never like talking about what the law is in a public setting. I think there's some obvious reasons for that, but this 7-member body asked me to do this because they want you all to be armed with relevant information in order to formulate fair opinions about what you think should be done with this golf course. The documents at issue are voluminous. This notebook that I have here in front of me contains the vast majority of the documents that make up the complex purchase of the golf course property. There are a number of other documents that I don't have with me. I think there are about 11 homeowner association documents that I had to review. And trust me, all of these documents have been reviewed with great detail. It's impossible for the lawyer to present all of this to you. All of this information, the contracts, the homeowner association documents, et cetera, are all public information, so any of these documents are available for any of you to review to get the details. If you have any issues getting them from the town, feel free to contact me. Again, my name is Gary Cohn, and I can get you copies of these documents to review for yourself. Obviously, certain in a transaction as complex as this, there are certain provisions that are subject to interpretation, which is one obvious reason why the lawyers don't like to discuss these matters publicly. And so for that reason, what I'm going to do, none of my comments here tonight should be taken as definitively stating what the contracts require. I'm going to give you key language, and I'm going to present the arguments from the position of what a party such as HSL could argue if this matter were to arise to a higher level. With that, and I also understand that I picked these three kind of key provisions. I think those are the important provisions for somebody who's a member of a citizen of Oral Valley to know about in order to fairly formulate an opinion. There, I could list 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 other provisions, but in the interest of time and in the interest of my discretion, I feel like these are the most important. Number one are the golf course use restrictions, also sometimes referred to as the deed restrictions. The agreements between HSL and Oral Valley limit the possible uses of those properties. And with regards to the properties, and again, there's some, interpretation as to whether this language applies to all the golf courses or just two of them. But in general, there's an argument that the use restrictions on the golf courses are as follows. Golf courses, open space, or recreational amenities compatible with the operation of the resort. The town shall maintain, repair, and landscape such open space and or recreational amenity in a manner that controls dust, removes litter and debris and landscapes, and maintains the open space or recreational amenity in a manner compatible with the operation of the resort as a first-class property. So that is the heart of the deed restriction or use restriction language in these contracts. The second key contractual obligation from my perspective that I think you as a member of the public would want to know about is what would happen, what would HSL's rights be upon a discontinuation of one or more of the courses. And again, there's some debate as to whether this provision that I'm about to talk about would apply to all the courses or just two of them. But again, in general, there's an argument that upon a discontinuation of the golf course, and I'm quoting, HSL shall have the right to lease such facilities from the town for a 50-year term for a period of 1 year after any required use is discontinued. The resort owner shall have the irrevocable option to lease the discontinued golf facility. And that lease term has a price in there, and if I recall correctly, I think it's $10,000 a year, pretty cheap. Lastly is the golf course operator provision. I'm talking about this just in case there was a member of the public that, for example, had the opinion, well, geez, we've got Troon operating these things and we don't need to pay them some money. We can just, have Oral Valley, maintain this themselves. But there is a restriction on the operator for the golf course. At least there's an argument in that regard. And the requisite qualification for the operator of the golf courses is as follows. A professional national or regional management company with prior experience managing both municipal and resort golf courses. And similar to that golf discontinuation prong that I just mentioned, if in fact the operator was one that did not meet that standard, that would be deemed, at least the argument would be, a discontinuation of golf and trigger that one-year lease provision that I mentioned earlier. So again, I think those are the key contractual legal provisions that you should know about. Again, it's a summary. I can't do it all, but these documents are available for the public at any time. And with that, I'll turn it back over to Mary, I think. Okay.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. The chart on this slide shows the revenues and expenditures that are attributed to the operations conducted by Troon over the last 5 years, and that chart is also in the summary document that you have. Troon was originally contracted to operate golf, including the pro shop, food and beverage, the tennis operation, and pool management. The pool function was moved to the town in fiscal 16-17, and tennis was removed from the contract to another vendor in October of last year. The blue bars are the revenues, and the orange bars are the expenditures. The difference between the revenues and expenditures is what is covered by the half-cent sales tax. For the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2019, just a few weeks ago, the tax support is estimated to be $1.7 million. In 2017, the town contracted with the National Golf Foundation and affiliate firms to evaluate options for the golf courses. In July of 2017, they submitted a report that outlined three options for the main 36-hole course area. The full report can be found on the town's website. The consultant concluded that the town could continue with 36 holes, redesign to a 27-hole configuration, or reduce to an 18-hole course. Each of the options included areas identified for potential future development. The consultant recommended the town choose the 27-hole option. The consultant also evaluated the Push Ridge 9-hole course and recommended the town consider a 12-hole par 3 Dirty Dozen reconfiguration, which also took advantage of freeing up acreage for potential redevelopment, or they recommended repurposing the course to something other than golf. In the fall, I paused the implementation of last year's budgeted improvements to the community center building and the irrigation replacement and refurbishment of the Conquistador and Kenyatta golf courses. In January, as the mayor mentioned, my staff and I presented the background information, reviewed my 2018 recommendation, and outlined a suggested review process moving forward. In February, again, as the mayor mentioned, the town council held a listening session for residents to provide input, and then there have been those several executive sessions to allow for statutorily allowed discussions on legal matters. My team and I reviewed and updated the analysis conducted last year. We started with the 2017 consultant report and were able to add an additional 15 months of actual financial and operational performance data from the estimates we made last year. We broadened our updated projections to include estimated operating costs for non-golf uses as well. Over the past several months, the community has also provided input via written comments, ideas, proposals, and small group meetings. And one particular idea that's been reported in the newspaper is a proposal by the Men's Golf Association and several HOAs in the vicinity of the 36-hole course outlining operational suggestions and proposing a potential ongoing contribution by the HOA to continue to the 36-hole course. In January, the council discussed as part of that conversation several considerations by which the elected body could evaluate the potential golf options, and those criteria are on this slide and they're also identified in the document. Minimizing sales taxes, evaluating the one-time versus long-term costs, broadening public access, being mindful of potential impacts to adjacent residents and property values, and then modeling environmental stewardship. As I mentioned, the staff completed a detailed analysis and projection working cooperatively with the town's golf course management firm, Troon. The town relies on Troon's expertise regarding not just operations, but also the area golf market. With Troon's recent acquisition of OB Sports, the company currently manages 198 holes of golf in the greater Tucson area, or about 25% of the total holes in the Tucson region. While there are now 5 full years of town operational information available, projections are still projections. They must be based upon a set of assumptions, and if those assumptions change, then the estimates could change. The town approached this process in the same way we do our annual budget projections and five-year forecast, reviewing actual trends, evaluating industry data, and developing reasonably conservative estimates with attainable revenues and expenditures. I'd like to review some key overall assumptions we used in making the projections and then briefly go through the four options. The projections presented reflect a single-year snapshot based upon the first full year of operations after capital investment. A 10-year estimate has also been completed based on reasonable but conservative projections and is in the agenda backup materials. The projections assume that for golf operations, the irrigation system is replaced and general improvements such as turf reduction and bunker refurbishment have occurred. Pro shop operations are included in the projections. Tennis is excluded since it's now operated by another contractor. Food and beverage has been pulled out as well, and the reason for that is because depending on the final decision regarding golf, it could impact how decisions are made regarding the level of food and beverage provided. Last year, I recommended closing the Overlook restaurant and creating a smaller, more flexible restaurant space downstairs. With such a space, we believe there's a strong chance the restaurant can be fully leased with no tax support and potentially be a revenue center. Currently, there's about $100,000 per year tax subsidy for food and beverage. The projections do not include the Push Ridge course, and I'll touch on that at the end. For golf operations, the projections reflect a plus or minus 10% range of the estimated annual tax support for that snapshot year. This is important because there are a lot of moving parts in making these projections, and it needs to be understood that it could be a little less, it could be a little more. For non-golf operating costs, there's also a range, one that corresponds to the range of options for repurposing. For example, maintaining natural open space is estimated to cost $4,900 per acre in the first 5 years and about $2,400 per acre after that. Maintaining public park space could cost $5,100 per acre to $8,600 per acre, depending on the amount and quality of grass maintained. And then finally, the community center operations and building improvements are not included in the tables and the estimates, the projections. The projections also include estimated one-time capital investments. It assumes that the golf course irrigation system is at the end of its useful life. The irrigation systems are over 30 years old. An estimated $1.9 million is projected for irrigation replacement, turf reduction, and general refurbishment per an 18-hole course. The consultant's capital investment estimates are higher and have been included in the range. This slide also, if you see, specifies the projected range of cost per acre to convert turf to natural open space and also to convert it to public park space. And it also shows the amount of irrigated turf at the Kenyatta and Conquistador courses that were used in the calculations. It's understandably difficult to get a good flavor of what repurposed golf areas could look like. Examples of converted golf and arid communities are not readily available, but there certainly are examples of fully or partially replanted natural desert areas we can point to. We've included several slides with photos to give a better visual of what I'll call the art of the possible. With an existing golf path, it's not difficult to imagine those areas turning into bicycling or walking paths in a revegetated area. The photos on the upper left and lower right are from the Oro Valley Marketplace. The bicyclists are traveling on a portion of the Pima County Loop. The lower left slide here is a tiny sample of a large revegetated area in Big Wash, south of the Oro Valley Marketplace. The natural trees and vegetation shown on the photo with the bicyclist helps to imagine how the area could look once plants are matured after several years. Repurposing areas for public park space could transition portions of the golf course to many different things, such as pocket parks with play structures, outdoor exercise stations, ramadas, and open grass areas for family gatherings and play. There are examples of former golf courses and other parts of the country being utilized for disc golf. The photos on this slide are also examples of facilities in Oro Valley or the region. The town used an estimate of $50,000 to $100,000 per acre when estimating capital investments for park space. In the next few slides, I'll briefly review the information included in the summary document. We use the same color coding that was used in the document you have, so everyone could follow along more easily with the options. We attempted to capture the major pros and cons for each of the potential options. For the 36-hole course, in the pro column is the market differentiation of having two 18-hole courses. This model also maximizes potential memberships and corresponding revenues. There's more play capacity for both members and non-members, and our team believes that no reconfiguration is needed. The consultant recommended a reconfiguration at a higher cost, but also included areas set aside for potential redevelopment. 36 holes also allows for more opportunities to host tournaments And since it's a continuation of what exists today, there's no expected impact to the neighborhood. Also, this is the only model in which the HOA has proposed potential ongoing financial support to offset projected sales tax support. Any potential HOA support was not factored into the financial model. For the major cons, this configuration costs the most to operate and uses the most water. Memberships are key to the financial success of this model. If no reconfiguration occurs, it does have the drawback of not having returning nines for shorter play options. Also, this model has the fewest opportunities to increase public access, and in another recession, has the highest exposure for loss. For the financial tables, I simplified the numbers included in the summary document, focusing only on the projected tax support. We estimate that the annual tax support to operate a 36-hole course is about $900,000 to $1.1 million per year. Staff projects a $3.8 million capital investment. The consultant's recommendation was $5.1 million. The major pros for a 27-hole course are that it is reconfigured to have basically three 9-hole courses. This encourages return to the community center building and to the food and beverage and pro shop operation, and also attracts players who want a shorter executive course. This model also has enough capacity to continue a membership model, although at a projected 25% reduction in members and corresponding revenue. There's also capacity to host tournaments with manageable impacts to players. 9 less holes also reduces long-term risk in a down economy, and the freed up holes provide opportunities for the public to access repurposed acreage. I already mentioned the projected membership reduction. With 9 fewer holes, it also reduces day play capacity. The consultant's recommended capital investment is $4.6 million, and this model projects the highest annual tax support that I'll show on the next slide. With repurposed areas, there is the potential of impacts to property values, and also depending on a final design, with gated subdivisions and private streets surrounding much of the Conquistador and Cañada courses, there are potentially challenges to developing general non-neighborhood public access and parking points. For the 27-hole option, the projected annual sales tax support is expected to be between $1.1 million and $1.3 million per year. For the areas that would no longer be used for golf, staff estimates the annual maintenance cost to be an additional $181,000 to $200,000 for the first 5 years, and that's due to the temporary irrigation system needed to maintain the plantings. And then after that, about $100,000 to $110,000 annually. The consultant projected the capital investment for a 27-hole reconfiguration to be just over $4.6 million, as I mentioned. An 18-hole option would provide the largest area for public access while still offering golf. Water use is reduced by half, and since there are no memberships with a traditional municipal 18-hole course, additional administrative overhead is reduced in the staff cost center. This option also removes the perception of a private course. With fewer staff and an opportunity for a significantly smaller food and beverage operation, there's also additional space at the community center that could be used for other programs or needs. On the con side, 18 holes also reduces the amount of holes available for day play overall. This is particularly significant during the 5-month prime play season, which is also when a higher percentage of revenue is collected for golf. Tournaments are possible, but fewer, in order to make sure players aren't consistently inconvenienced and potentially pushed to go elsewhere. The water utility would expect to have a revenue impact of about $238,000, which would require some sort of a plan to address. And this option also has the similar potential property impacts and access issues that I mentioned in the previous option. Staff estimates that the projected annual tax support for golf operations in a 18-hole option would range from about $676,000 to $826,000 per year. In addition, depending on the final reconfiguration plan, annual maintenance costs for non-golf areas would range from $340,000 to $513,000 for the first 5 years, and then lower to $200,000 to $420,000 annually after that, again, depending on what was installed. We estimate the one-time capital investment would range from $2.8 million for course refurbishment and all-natural open space repurposing to as much as $6.2 million if there was a 50-50 split of natural open space and the highest level of public park space. The consultant projected $4.2 million for an 18-hole option. The final option is a conversion of all 36 holes to natural open space and public park space. This option will result in opening up significant acreage for active and passive recreation in the community, estimated at over 200 acres. With no golf, it would also open up areas around the community center for potential expansion in the future. It reduces the amount of water used, and it also has the lowest ongoing tax support to operate annually. On the con side, reducing golf by 36 holes results in the water utility losing an estimated $469,000 in revenue, which would require some sort of a plan to address. This option also has the same potential property value impacts and access issues I mentioned previously. As I already stated, this option has the lowest potential annual operating cost depending on the final reconfiguration and repurposing decisions. More recreation amenities and grass increases the annual cost. We project the range to be about $750,000 to $1.15 million for the first 5 years, and $420,000 to almost $1 million after that. There's also a wide range for potential one-time capital investments with a low of $2 million and as much as $8 million. Lastly, I do want to address the Push Ridge course. As I mentioned, the projections for the four previous options I just reviewed do not include the cost of maintaining this course. As a nine-hole course off-site, this course does not have or require dedicated staff assigned because of its small size. Troon assigns portions of staff to keep the course maintained with an estimated direct cost of about $200,000 in sales tax support annually. If the course continued in its existing configuration under either a 36-hole or a 27-hole option, we would expect the tax support to remain the same at about $200,000 a year. If the town continued operating the course under the 18-hole option, it's anticipated an additional staff person would be needed for an estimated tax support of about $240,000 per year. Last year, I recommended the town council discontinue operations at the Push course and offer HSL the opportunity to exercise its lease option per the purchase and sales agreement. The approved fiscal year 1920 budget was developed to allow operation of all 45 holes of golf until such time as the council directs otherwise. Following public comment, my team and I stand ready to answer any questions you may have, and we look forward to receiving your direction on this important issue. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We're going to move to the blue cards. Just as a reminder, our ground rules this evening are no applause, no jeering, not doing anything to disrupt the meeting. If you choose not to abide by those simple rules, we do have peace officers here that will escort you out. I'd like to invite Bob Cuthbertson, if he would come to the podium. And then in queue is Larry Armstrong, Randy Carr, and John Eisenbarger. So, Bob, you'll be speaking, followed by Larry, followed by Randy, followed by John.
Where's the clock? Oh, there it is. Thank you. Why was I first? That's okay. First, I'd like to thank Mike Zinken for his letter to the editor in the Explorer. I'd like to thank Logan Butch Buss, editor of the Explorer, for his continued publication of even-minded letters to the editor. I'd like to quote from the summary conclusion of the $50,000 NGF report, just making a few remarks from that paragraph. Now operating at a significant deficit reaching as high as $2.1 million, adding stress to Oro Valley taxpayers. And then one of the notes in the conclusion is declining interest in golf. In reference to the 518-page agenda that was on your website, there are 285 pages of citizen input letters, all of which support in some way maintaining the golf course. Surprisingly, the common theme is our home values, which is understood. Where are the letters that don't support golf? I sent two of the mayors. Both were published in the Explorer, but none of them are in this 518-page report. In the attachment, Know Your Town Budget, your first priority is culture and recreation, which is prioritized above public safety, streets, water quality, and economic vitality. I think this should have been instead at the bottom. The town budget should more closely reflect demographics of Oro Valley. There are 18,861 homes, only 400 of which are on the greens, a number that I picked out of my hat. There are 44,863 residents, only 10% are golfers, perhaps 7% are core golfers, or about 3,000. The number of golfers is an educated guess. Oro Valley should know what this number is and publish it. At this time, taxpayers, all 44,863, are subsidizing each round of golf and each meal served at the community center. For golf, it's $42.44 based on page 94 of your agenda package. And for the restaurant, who knows? Probably most taxpayers don't want to pay for this.
Thank you, Bob. And I'm going to have to ask you to stop at that point because I've got 6 hours of folks that would like to testify, and or not testify, but speak.
Okay, thank you.
So, Larry Armstrong, remember, if you could please come up and sit in these reserved seats, it will help move things along. Stephen Fetter, you're in the queue.
Hi, I'm Larry Armstrong. I've lived in Oro Valley since 1972. I have seen this place grow from nothing to where it is now. I built a second house in Copper Creek because none of the houses were built around the golf course area at that point. I then, when the golf course started being developed to the 36 holes in 88, I built a house on Master Hill, paid $30,000 extra to see a golf course. That's what was billed on my bill. The house next door paid $35,000. The house next door to that was $40,000 to be on a golf course. That's what you'll find from all the other houses of the 550 homes that are on the 36 holes. I attended one of your mayoral council campaign meetings at which you, the mayor, stated that you would not do anything that would harm our property values. It has been stated by the HOA that hired an appraisal company to evaluate what would happen to all of our home values in Oro Valley, not just on the golf course, but all the homes in Oro Valley, if you close down some of the golf holes. They came out with millions of dollars of loss in property value. Also, Long Realty has done, which is a local company, has also done an evaluation of that same thing and came up with the same numbers. I was told recently, which I did not read the article, but Wall Street Journal had an article that attempted to say the same thing just a few days ago in its publication. Another thing that the person just before me stated, he was incorrect. The Golf Digest, the Golf Now, all of the Golf Association memberships in the country have increased by 10% in the last 2 years, each year, and it's growing and going back. Golf being dead is not a fair statement to make at all, and I'm sure Rob can back that up from Troon. That's about what I had to say.
Thank you. Randy Carr, you're at the podium. Tricia Jones, you're in the queue.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. It's a pleasure to see you tonight. My name is Randy Carr. I'm the fire chief for the Golden Ranch Fire District, serving Oro Valley through 5 strategically placed fire stations. I'm here tonight to express the concern of the Golden Ranch Fire District and provide a different perspective to you regarding the complete closure of the Oro Valley town-owned golf courses. Our concerns revolve around the negative and unintended consequences that could impact this based upon the reduction in property value. Golden Ranch Fire District was formed in 1977, is governed by a 5-member elected governing board under the Arizona State Statute Title 48. We're very similar to a school district. We operate solely on property tax. We're proud to say that we have the lowest tax rate of any full-service fire department in the state of Arizona and an exceptional insurance company rating. Of significant concern is the property valuation that decreases that could be felt by the closure of these town assets. Much like what we are now witnessing in the Rancho Vistoso community, property values will fall as a result of the decision to completely close these golf courses. The impact of the decrease of property values that would result in a significant loss of revenue for the fire district. It would have a cumulative and lasting effect that would most certainly injure the fire district in future years. This would result in one of two options: a significant increase in property taxes to offset the loss of property valuation, or a significant reduction in public safety service level, which would likely mean a reduction in force or layoffs of firefighters and paramedics. Our other significant concern is for life safety and property protection. We will enforce the fire code to the letter of the law. However, the deteriorating landscape of the neglected golf courses would certainly add to the fire load, increasing that fire threat. Simply put, the closure of these town assets would negatively impact the district and the other town residents. I anticipate the Golden Ranch Fire District Governing Board will be taking formal action in opposition of closures, complete closures, at the next Governing Board meeting in August. Further, we will provide the town a detailed financial projection of the impact of this decision and what it would do to the future of the Golden Ranch Fire District. Thank you for the opportunity to speak, your time, and of course your service to the town.
John Eisenberger, you're at the podium. Steve Jones, you're in the queue.
Hi, I'm John Eisenberger. I live on number 5 of the El Conquistador course. I looked all over the United States to find a home that was on a golf course that I could afford. I agree with the mayor that the drinking water to grow grass in the desert may not be the best use of drinking water. However, we are using reclaimed water, the effluent from sewage treatment. We don't pay to reclaim water. We pay to treat sewage. Oro Valley, Tucson, Pima County, Metro, and the Secretary of the Interior each receive a free entitlement of the area's reclaimed water. If this water is not used, it is dumped. Oro Valley's reclaimed water pipeline operating and maintenance costs must be paid by water consumers, whether or not Oro Valley sells any reclaimed water. Extensive research and studies by Tucson, Pima County, Arizona, and others have all concluded that using reclaimed water on golf courses is the preferred use. Pima charges Crooked Tree $64,000 a year for their 18 holes of golf course water. Oro Valley charges Elkhorn two times $450,000 per year for their water. That makes no sense. Grass is extremely environmentally advantageous. Grass removes pollutants, including dust, dirt, CO2, and returns oxygen. Grass also lowers the air temperature. Grass looks good and feels good. We all want a cleaner environment. According to the federal, Arizona, and Pima County fire regulations, wildland-urban interfaces represent a fire risk to neighboring homes and businesses. Earlier this month, Golden Fire Department in Oro Valley had to abate the serious fire risk at the recently closed Vistoso Gulf. Further abatement will be necessary. The very fertile proposed desert at El Conquistador would quickly become invaded by very flammable buffalo grass and brome. Our mayor can confirm this as he worked for the Forest Service and had a degree in architectural landscape. If you looked at the first two photos that Mary had up here, those are examples of what the new desert might look like, and those represent moderate to moving to high fire risk situations. Well, I guess I'm out of town.
You have 40 seconds.
Oh, 40 seconds. Oh, I'm sorry. Ah, good. Non-golfers use the golf course every day after work. When it's not too hot or not too cold, the entire golf course's grass areas are used every day by hundreds of non-golfers for walking, playing, sports, bikes, and golf when golfers aren't playing. Any reduction in golf area will reduce non-golf utilization. No one will play in the desert. The city knows this. Everybody knows this. The big lie. I've seen claims. I heard a claim today, just right now, that golf loses as much as $2 million a year. That's absurd. Over half of that is due to the restaurant, the pool, tennis.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Eisenberger, yeah, that's time. Thank you.
Amanda, can we get the countdown clock on the front screen so people can see?
There's a screen right down below. Okay. And then just for the public, you're going to, at the 1 minute, get a warning signal. Again, at 30 seconds, and then you're going to hear a loud beep, and that means time is up. And then also, now that my microphone is working, for all the residents speaking, if you can say if you're a resident or not, for the record, as well as state your name. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. And just a public service announcement. The church opened up the third space and welcome center that has a large screen, and I presume sound for viewing if we've ran out of room here. Stephen Feeder, you're at the podium. Cheryl Lamona, you're in the queue.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor and council members, my name is Steve Feeder. I'm an 8.5-year resident of Oro Valley. It's my opinion that this is not about an adversarial challenge between golfers and non-golfers. It's about maintaining and enhancing our property values, yours and mine, and creating a source of increasing revenue and intrinsic value for properties surrounding El Conquistador. This is what draws people to Oro Valley to discover what those of us who are already fortunate enough to know, to live here, already know. Both golf courses have generated, despite some of the numbers that we've seen, increasing year-over-year revenue from both members and non-members alike. We have Cañada Hills area homeowners, including full-time Tucson area residents and winter visitors, enjoying the benefits of the golf operation capably managed by Troon. When I moved in here, if you had seen how the course was being managed by Hilton, I believe it was, you know, at that time, versus what Troon has done in the last few years, the difference is absolutely amazing. Finally, we have the term repurposing. This is used to describe the proposed action to either reduce or eliminate both golf courses and replace them with a natural setting. This setting will require long-term maintenance and the very real loss of direct and ancillary revenue. Before expressing your wishes to the town council, I would ask all of you to please ask yourselves to consider the immediate effect on your property value, as well as the long-term effect on the many amenities and businesses surrounding the El Conquistador golf courses. Thank you for your time.
Tricia Jones at the podium, Raina and Hannah Ports in the queue.
Mr. Mayor and Town Council, my name is Tricia Jones, and I'm an almost 10-year resident of Oro Valley. And one of the reasons that we actually moved here from Seattle and chose Oro Valley was the fact that we were going to be less than a quarter of a mile from two beautiful golf courses, a bunch of tennis courts, and a swimming pool and a recreation center. And the fact that the town of Oro Valley was able to buy that property for only $1 million to benefit this community, I thought was amazing, and I thought it was a good deal. And we have three grown children who live in Seattle who need a place to come to play golf and play tennis in January, February, March, April, because Seattle weather is not that good then. One of the reasons that I am against using the golf courses to be repurposed is to make that repurposing, it's going to increase allergies with the different types of plants that will grow there. I've had two dogs since we've moved here. Both got valley fever. You're going to start stirring up the ground, and that's going to happen. And I don't think you want that to happen to the people as well as their pets. I do like the suggestion that somebody talked about. People are using these golf courses in non-golf times right now for walking, biking. I walk my dog in the mornings at non-golf times. And I think it would be a good idea to take down the no trespassing signs that you have up there right now, and because people are using those, and to post times so people know when they it would be appropriate for them to use the golf courses. Thank you for your time.
Steve Jones at the podium, George Hayduke in the queue.
I can't believe I'm right after my wife, but So I can tell you, it must have shuffled them pretty good, at any rate. My name is Steve Jones. I'm an Oro Valley resident, I guess, of 9.5 years, as my wife stated, and a board member of the Kenyatta Hills Community Association. We have 1,310 homes, 418 condos and apartments, and over 40 businesses as members. I've talked with a lot of them. They want the golf courses to remain. But first of all, I'd like to thank the mayor, the council members, and the town staff who I've met with, and I appreciate your time and consideration for my aggravating you. But as this complicated situation became clear to me, it appears that the choice does boil down to, due to the good work of the town staff, that I agree with their analysis for the most part, to really keeping 36 holes or turn it into a desert park with trails. Both appear to be about equal cost to me in a 10-year period, depending on what you do with the amount of money put into repurposing. What is missing in the analysis is a lot of the major cons that are not costed. That includes an analysis of property devaluation, which I'd be glad to work with Golden Ranch because the Brecken Navis study specifically addressed it and cost it. If the holes were closed, the property devalue or the property tax losses would be between $212,000 for a partial closure and three times that for a full closure. Also, there's a sales tax revenue that has not come out of that. The $3 million in sales, the city will not be spent in the city. So 2.5% of that $3 million in revenue would cost $75,000 a year. If the courses are closed, there's no public golf in Oro Valley. So they'll be golfing outside of Oro Valley. We have three other courses, Stone Canyon's private, Oro Valley Country Club's private, and Sun Valley has is semi-private with the only times available, really undesirable. When the costs are applied overall to include a lot of unforeseen costs that I believe, becomes obvious to me that a desert park with more trails is not financially feasible. We have 54.5 miles of trails in Oro Valley, and we're in close proximity to world-class
national
state parks.
Cheryl Lamona at the podium. Estelle McDaniel, Daniel in the queue.
Cheryl Lamona, Oro Valley resident. Thank you for exploring the various options to reduce the significant and ongoing town golf losses. I've also read the 286 pages of letters you received from residents of the golf communities, primarily Kenyatta Hills. Their unwavering opinion is that all 36 holes must be retained. In my observations, that's not the opinion of thousands of other Oro Valley residents who find that unreasonable. As Ms. Jacobs mentioned tonight, the town's original revenue projections indicated the half-cent sales tax and the community center fund would cover all expenses, including capital improvements. Troon specifically projected golf losses of only $2 million through fiscal year 17-18, with a slightly positive return starting in 18-19. Instead, for golf only, the losses are just shy of $9 million through May 2019. Yet now we're supposed to believe that golf will only require $1 million in annual sales tax support if the town retains 36 holes and if they spend almost $4 million to replace the irrigation system and refurbish holes as part of a $6 million bond package. Seriously. That wasn't the recommendation of the National Golf Foundation when the town paid them to analyze the market data in 2017. Two key points in their report were quite clear. The financial condition of Oro Valley's golf operation is considerably worse than most public sector golf operations in the United States, where 67% of municipal golf course operations are able to cover their on-site expenses. There are far fewer permanent households and resident golfers in the greater Tucson markets to support each 18 holes of golf in the area. Across the country, golf course community developments are going through disruptive changes, and it's time for Oro Valley to accept the obvious and make some changes as well. I submit that one comment in the 286 pages of emails really hit home with me. It was made in reference to closing the golf courses. This is not why we moved to Oro Valley, it read. Well, I didn't move here either for the town to buy golf courses and restaurants that compete with private industry, requiring bonds and the risk of a future property tax. And while I understand the concerns of those that paid premium prices for golf course views, there are many others in town who also paid lot premiums and lost their views without recourse due to the rampant development in town. The town is so divided now, residents can hardly have a civil conversation about the golf financials. The rhetoric has become so toxic that residents are in fear of speaking and attending this meeting tonight. One person even asked me if there were going to be armed police. That's a sad testament to this community. We elected a new town council in 2018 for an objective look at the golf operations. I trust you'll consider the majority of Oro Valley residents when making your decision. Thank you.
Raina and Hannah Ports at the podium. Pam Krebs in the queue.
My name's George Hayduke. I'm a real estate broker, and I've lived here for about 20 years in Oro Valley. It was interesting. We got a letter from Judy Lowe, the commissioner of real estate, yesterday. A real estate licensee participating in a real estate transaction shall disclose in writing to all other parties any information the licensee possesses that materially and adversely affects a consideration to be paid by any party in a transaction. Along with that, every time a house is sold, we have to fill out a seller's property disclosure statement. The last page says other consideration and factors. What other materials, important information, are you aware of concerning the property that might affect the buyer's decision-making process, comma, the value of the valuation of the property or its uses? At this point in time, we now have to have this disclosure given to any buyer that wants to buy a house. The problem is if you're selling a house for $300,000 and he reads this, what is he going to do? He's going to back out of the transaction, and we already know that there's been over a dozen transactions canceled because of what can possibly happen to the future value of the house. The other question that I have in regard to the golf course, I've understood that there's different ways to get rid of all the grass. Typically, you're going to have to blade it down 12 to 18 inches and remove all of that overburden. Or you're going to spray Roundup by the millions of gallons and cause more cancer with all the neighbors. So, you know, the whole thing is pretty much crazy in my mind, because there's no way to get rid of the grass once it's been in there that long. It'll pop up 10 years later through the sidewalk or the asphalt. That's it.
Thank you. So, Raina and Hannah. Greg Kishi, you're in the queue.
Hello, everyone. My name is Raina Ports. I am a town member, and I have been a member at the Elkhorn, now the Oro Valley Community Center, for 8 years. My sisters and I have played the course or practiced at the range almost every day since moving here. But we've also played courses all over the city, and the Elkhorn is the most junior golf friendly and safe. Eric, Gabe, and the entire golf staff have supported us and treated us like valuable members since moving here. Losing the golf course would be taking away the number one reason why we and so many others moved into the Kenyatta Hills neighborhood and Oro Valley. I understand there are several options proposed by the committee, including a no-golf desert landscape option. And I, along with my family, neighbors, and golf friends, oppose this option mainly because it will take away our training facility, reduce property value, and there's no clear proposal as to what will become of our backyard. It is my hope that you will consider the voices here tonight and vote for the 36-hole golf option.
Hello, committee members. My name is Hannah Ports, and I'd like to inform the committee on all that my sister and I have accomplished in the golf world, mainly because we have been fortunate enough to live where we train. To begin, Raina went to Drive, Chip, and Putt finalist competition in 2014 at Augusta National and placed second overall. I've won two national qualifier tournaments for AJGA, Arizona Junior Golf Association. We have played in the Elkhorn's National AJGA Junior All-Star Tournament where college coaches came and scouted us, along with other junior golfers from all over around the world. We went to the U.S. Kids World Championship 2 years in a row where we, along with 50 other junior Arizona golfers, represented our state. And speaking of state, last year we played for Ironwood Ridge High School's team and we took second, which is the best record in the history of Ironwood High School's women's golf team. None of this would be possible if we didn't live on the course, and again, it's the number one reason why my parents purchased a home on the El Conquistador course. Taking the course away takes our opportunity to train away at the height of our junior golf career. I ask of each of you to consider the comps tonight and not vote a no golf option. Thank you.
Thank you. Estelle McDaniel, please. No. I know they're good.
I know, I got my hand slapped.
I would really hate to have you hauled out of here, Bill. Estelle, and then Donna Shaw in the queue.
I'm Estelle McDaniel, and I've lived in Oral Valley for 20 years. And I'd like to just share some observations with you. I live on the golf course, and there's an older couple who can no longer exercise, but who sit outside on their patio every morning, enjoying the opportunity to watch and wave to golfers who pass by. There's a gentleman who suffers from Agent Orange who enjoys not only watching the golfers pass by, but greeting them with a friendly hello and perhaps a 30-second conversation. There are a number of teenage golfers who practice and golf regularly. Perhaps one day they will receive a golf scholarship thanks to practicing and playing on the El Conquistador golf courses. There is a gentleman who, due to medical issues, no longer golfs, but stands at the fence in his backyard, watching the golfers pass by as he thinks about what could have been. He would sorely miss not watching the golfers. When I hear talk of dismantling the golf course, digging it up, I think about the neighbor who suffered for over 2 years with valley fever, all because dirt and dust were stirred up. It's not unusual to see golf tournaments with new players visiting Oro Valley for the first time to be charmed by the beautiful golf courses available for their tournaments. I'm aware of the fact that both men and women's golf groups have events that support various charities. For example, the women's group, just this past December, donated over 225 books to a local school. I have seen children, after the golfers have finished playing, practice soccer on the fairway. Every early morning and late in the day, I see dog walkers walking, not on the cart path, but down the green fairway, allowing even our four-legged friends to enjoy the golf course. As you, the Oro Valley City Council, considers the role you have in providing for our citizens, please remember that the golf course is an integral part of Oro Valley, which I hope will be available to our citizens for years to come.
Pam Krepp. Please, no applause. Pam Krebs at the podium. Peyton Davies in the queue.
My name is Pam Krebs. My husband and I reside at 1844 West Wimbledon Way alongside the 16th hole on the El Conquistador course. We paid a premium to move into this beautiful home community surrounded by the open green expanse of the golf course. A premium paid for the mountain views, the cooler temperatures, and the peaceful and safe atmosphere. According to the Brecken-Nava research, the closure of these courses will result in home value losses of 9% to 18% in the Kenyatta Hill communities and a 2% loss in Oro Valley at large. That's a $284 million loss in home values for Oro Valley, or an average loss per Oro Valley household of approximately $16,000. Lower home values mean lower sales or user tax revenues for the town, which can greatly affect revenue needed for our schools, our roads, recreational parks and services, fire and police. In the 2019-20 budget, golf generates higher revenues than any other town amenity. Golf currently requires only 28% in tax support dollars. That's versus the 75% needed for parks and recreation, and 50% for the Aquatic Center. The Kenyatta Hills Homeowners Association and the El Conquistador Men's Golf Association as you recognized, Mary, have submitted proposals that would bring the town's 2020-21 golf tax support budget down to just $1 million. This is far below the $2.5 million in tax support needed when the half-cent sales tax was first imposed. Solutions can be found. Respectfully, Mr. Mayor, my understanding of your vision is that you want to repurpose by blading off the 36 holes into a natural desert vegetation state with some yet to be defined network of trails. Capital costs are not fully identified, but annual maintenance costs have been projected at approximately $5,000 per acre. But what will the town really gain with closure and repurposing? Blading off the golf courses will result in weeds and invasive plant species such as buffelgrass and desert broom. What is now beautiful green space will look like abandoned, empty plots of land. Homeowners in these communities will likely face home insurance rate increases with a greater risk of property fires and burglaries, plus the already aforementioned home value loss of $30,000 to $60,000. We have 54 miles of trails. We have a lot of parks and services. Do we really need more? In summary, with closure and repurposing, there will be community disruption, neighborhood devastation, and in the long term, town costs could far exceed that of simply keeping the existing 36 halls.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Greg Kishi at the podium, Vicki Lair in the queue.
Mayor and Council, my name is Greg Kishi. I have been a resident of Oro Valley for 28 years. I am speaking to you today as the president of the Villages of La Cañada Homeowners Association. The Villages of La Cañada consist of 580 homes located approximately at the southeast corner of Lambert and La Cañada. Holes 10 through 14 of the Cañada course run through the Villages of La Cañada. I have four topics to cover. First, per the letter sent today by our council on our behalf to the town attorney, the Villages of La Cañada HOA is requesting further constructive dialogue and deliberation prior to any final golf course decision. Second, I believe the following. The unelected Budget and Finance Commission is creating a golf course spreadsheet. That spreadsheet is apparently going to be used to recommend a course of action to the council. All previous council inputs on the golf course have been open to public input. Therefore, I request that you direct the Budget and Finance Commission to publish a spreadsheet in the commission packet prior to the meeting and ask them to allow public input on the golf course analysis agenda item at their August 20th meeting. Third, I also believe that any option for closing the golf course should include the cost of the, quote, increase in reclaim rates or alternatively a subsidy by potable water customers, unquote, as mentioned in this presentation. That cost is associated with closing the golf course. Although it might not be a cost to the town of Oro Valley, it is a cost that will be passed on to the town's constituents. Finally, the council has said that it is concerned with the impact of their decision on home values in the community. Should you choose the lowest net operating cost in the no golf analysis as the basis of your decision, you are also choosing the highest impact on home values. Thank you.
Donna Shaw at the podium, Greg Bennett in the queue.
Hello, I'm Donna Shaw. I've been a resident here in Oro Valley since the mid-90s. I'm more concerned with the process that you've been going through to make this decision regarding the future of the golf course, and I think it's tainted, and here's why I feel that way. The newly elected council primarily ran on an issue platform of one single item, and that was closing the golf course. They did this because they felt it was going to bankrupt the town. It's even been stated, and I have heard it myself, that many of you were elected simply to close down the courses. According to meeting minutes, the mayor appointed himself the council liaison to the Finance and Budget Commission and then set up a selection committee consisting of himself and council member Josh Nicholson. That clearly stacked the deck against a fair evaluation by the commission. From the first meeting of the Finance and Budget Commission, the mayor was directing the meeting and even countered points made by the commission members when some members stated that keeping the golf courses open as is may actually be a viable option. A couple of meetings ago, both the mayor and vice mayor were clearly heard on the audio tape as being active participants in the discussion regarding golf. It was very clear that they were attempting to influence the direction of the commission's ultimate recommendation. Do a little research. I find the liaisons to any committee are forbidden to guide, let alone direct, any board or commission. They are to be casual observers only. Lastly, at the most recent meeting, the mayor arrived a few minutes before the meeting, as he usually does. He saw a full house, and then all of a sudden he disappeared. A few minutes later, a concern of the Finance and Budget Commission has a bias and has been influenced by the mayor and vice mayor to reduce or eliminate golf holes. I mentioned earlier that some council members have stated that they ran on the promise of closing the golf courses. However, once elected, it is your responsibility to represent the interests of all the residents of Oro Valley.
Peyton Davis at the podium, please hold your applause. Kathy Wilson in the queue.
It seems like Donna and I have coordinated our talks, but I never spoke to her at all. My name is Peyton Davies, and I live on the Conquistador course. I've lived in Oro Valley for 13 years. I believe you think your team was elected because citizens wanted you to get rid of the golf courses. I do not think that's the case. People were upset with Hiramuth and the town purchasing three courses and the clubhouse with no opportunity to discuss this with the town. But they, in fact, had to act quickly, and the $1 million purchase has been valued at 50 times that amount. Even though citizens were upset with not being asked beforehand about the purchase, the council survived a recall election, which tells me they still had confidence of the people. I believe, though you obviously disagree, that you were elected because Oro Valley wanted a change, not necessarily to remove the golf courses. In the past few months, it's come to light that you, Mr. Mayor, have a bias toward desert settings rather than green grass. Had you been honest with the people who came to hear you during the election, I believe you would not have been elected. So you tailored your speeches. Tailored your speech to each audience. I call that speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You also said that you had not made up your mind about whether to keep the restaurant rather than turn it into a snack bar. You misled us on that also. I want someone with an open mind. My story of why I came to Oro Valley is similar to many residents and visitors. I had been playing golf for 20 years and had played well enough to qualify for and play in three USGA senior amateur championships. I wanted a city where I could play several courses and hone my skills to continue to play at that level. That is why I picked Oro Valley. Many of us have golfing friends from across the world and around the country who like to come here and play golf. Removing two of the three golf courses would take Oro Valley away as a golf destination. I hear many ideas being floated about what can be done with the 36 holes in the rec center. Please work with us. Just because we want to keep the golf courses do not make us bad people. We don't want to lose the tax revenue from the property valuations. I beg you, let us work with you.
Vicki Lear at the podium, Anna Clark in the queue.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor and Council members, for the opportunity to speak. Once my husband and I determined we wanted to live in Oro Valley, we began looking for a new home. We had the same basic requirements of bedrooms, bathrooms, square footage, adequate garage space as most people. But first on our list was location. We wanted to live on an affordable golf course with mountain views. The reason for the mountain views is obvious. But the golf course location requirement involves further explanation. After choosing Oro Valley, we knew it would be critical to our happiness of finding a way to connect with people. For us, the avenue was golf and the community center. We even sold a second vehicle and replaced it with a golf cart for easier access to the course. Now our days are mostly filled with activities that are offered at El Conquistador Golf and Tennis. We were aware when we purchased our home that we would not always be golfers, but we did believe we would always be able to enjoy the beautiful course, and we were willing to pay more for our home because of its unique location. All of our friends are golfers, not because we like only golfers, but because golf provided the vehicle to meet people. We now have fabulous doctors, dentists, hairdressers, and more due to recommendations from those people. We asked for recommendations in finding contractors to renovate our home, physical therapists to get us back on our feet, attorneys to write our wills and help identifying favorite restaurants and stores. The community center and golf courses have created an entire lifestyle with genuine friends that we now consider family. Not only does El Conquistador offer locals golf, but many people from the surrounding areas and out of state specifically come to Oro Valley to take advantage of our superb golf courses and recreation facilities. The golf courses alone accommodate over 20,000 rounds per year of non-member play, which means there are thousands of people from outside the community who come to enjoy this tremendous amenity. They rent housing, eat meals, shop in the area, which provides additional revenue to the community. As a result of their visits, many people even decide to move here because of this historic facility, just like we did. El Conquistador and La Cañada golf courses were designed to have homes surrounding them. They were and continued to be marketed to potential buyers on that basis. We find it impossible to understand how any person or board who has only been elected for a brief tenure relative to a 35-year history of El Conquistador would feel they have the right to destroy this amenity, reducing property values.
Thank you.
Which would negatively reduce tax revenue.
Please hold your applause, and I just want to say
I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate your efforts. I know as the evening goes on, but it's a simple rule. No applause, no jeering, or anything to disrupt the meeting. You can see, if we can just continue going on, how easily we can get folks up here to speak. So I'd appreciate you following that. Greg Bennett at the podium, Dan Dudley in the queue.
My name is Greg Bennett. I've lived in Oro Valley for 25 years now. I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of figures and facts, just a personal story. In 1994, when my employer in California was moving the missile business to Tucson, they sent their employees and their spouses to see if they would move to Tucson. And when we got here, the realtor showed my wife and us around the Tucson area. And after about an hour, said, "What do you think?" And my wife says, "There's no way I'm moving here. So you can commute on Southwest Airlines, and I'm not moving here. Don't you have anything where it's green?" So the realtor took us to Oro Valley, specifically in the Cañada Hills, and as we were driving up to look at the homes up there, up La Cañada, my wife gave me permission to move to Tucson. So that saved my job, and now since retired, and we've since decided to live here. But I just want to say that it's wonderful when your friends and people from out of town come to visit you and say, "Boy, don't you live in a beautiful place? You have green golf courses here. It's like you live in a resort." And I go, "Yeah, it is very nice to live here in this beautiful area here where there is a little bit of green." And I just want to say that we really, really enjoy living here, and I think we have decided that we, being retired, will stay here because of the community and how beautiful it is. And I would hate to see the golf course closed, because I use it for walking and just as a recreation, to be able to look at the beautiful scenery around here. And I think that green is beautiful too, as far as the mountains and everything else. So I am definitely hoping that we keep all of the golf course. Thank you.
Kathy Wilson at the podium, Gerald Rajewski in the queue.
Hi, I'm Kathy Wilson. We moved to Oro Valley from the Ventana Canyon area for the golf 2 years ago, and to retire on a golf course. That was my number one goal when I retired. That's what I'm going to be doing. I still work, and I'm hoping when I retire that there will be a golf course that I can play golf on now that I live here. I own a Kindle. I don't go to the library, and yet I still support the library. And I don't swim, but yet I still support the aquatic center. I don't have children in school. I still support schools. I think it's important as a community that we support the community. And the golf courses are certainly part of it. The revenue it generates, I think it's part of the community. And I think it's important that we look at the whole community that we support. You know, the Oro Valley did not pass that recent bond election to increase the Naranja Park system, and yet they're talking about wanting to increase by how many hundreds of acres the additional park systems. So I think we really need to look long and hard at looking at who can support, who can add additional funds, homeowners associations, and individuals that live on the golf course. I personally would be very happy to help subsidize so that my property value, the home that I just renovated, will continue to hold value. And I'll keep it short and sweet, and thanks for your time.
Thank you. Anna Clark at the podium, Frank David in the queue.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for taking the time to hear what we as residents of Oro Valley would like to see done at the El Conquistador Golf Course. I love Oro Valley. I've been here since I was a kid. I graduated high school right down the street at CDO. I moved back here with my family. I have four sons, and this is the place that I want to be. So golf alone consumes about 75% of the parks and recreation budget. But what about the rest of us who don't golf? Like I said, I have four sons who play field sports. Oro Valley desperately needs more soccer fields and baseball fields to accommodate the many other families with children who play sports like mine do. It's disheartening when my son's team has to host a home game down at Reed Park because there's no availability for that home game to be hosted here in Oro Valley. Have you ever been to soccer practices at Naranja Park? Because of the lack of field space for kids, soccer players of all ages are forced to practice on the same field at the same time. This is a total recipe for disaster. It's unsafe practice conditions for both the older teens and the younger children. Well, what about the kids who want to play basketball? Several weeks ago, my 8-year-old came home from school and proudly announced that he wants to play basketball this year. The town only has one basketball court at Riverfront Park. Where can he play basketball if our one measly court is full? All of us are paying an extra half-cent tax on everything we buy in Oro Valley. But what is our money getting us? Why are we subsidizing an underused town golf course for less than 1% of our Oro Valley residents? We need to reduce the number of golf holes to match the demand of our golf and make it pay its own way like the community center does. Just imagine what the programs the Oro Valley Parks and Recreation could do and could offer our residents if it was no longer shackled with millions of dollars in golf losses. Thank you.
Dan Dudley at the podium, Jennifer LaFerve in the queue. Dan Dudley.
Mayor, Council, I've lived in this community with my wife and my family for 30 years. One time I was a town attorney for Oro Valley. I know there's disappointment by the council and members of the community on the way this golf course was purchased by the town. The method, not the decision. And I know that the council came in, or many of you came in, with preconceived notions about what needed to be done without any knowledge of the underlying facts. That's typical of what political bodies and politicians do. And it's not unusual because they haven't been exposed to the information at its source. You can't unwind your decision or the decision of the past council without doing great risk to the community. You can't just, let's go back to the starting point. That's impossible. So whatever you do is going to do some harm to the community. One of the things I think that this council has not really looked at, and it, we don't know what you discussed in the executive session, so we don't know what your attorney has advised you, but out here in the open, you have not discussed the many legal problems. He focused on two or three, and he knows that there are probably 35 more, many problems buried in those. One of the problems that you're going to have if you want to repurpose this land is to find a way across the private streets in our community in Kenyatta Hills. Because those easements are for a specific purpose. They're not for any purpose, not for every purpose. They are for a specific purpose that's set out in the documentation. Take a close look at that, because I don't think you have the right to repurpose that ground due to the underlying legal issues. Thank you.
Gerald Rajowski at the podium, Jody Conger in the queue.
Good evening. My name is Gerald Rajowski. I'm a 25-year resident of Oro Valley. I don't play golf, but I live in Kenyatta Hills. So I must state municipalities are not a profit center, but they rather provide our services to the community. So in the town's 2019 financial statement for the Parks Department, aquatics, parks and recs, and golf financials are as follows. Aquatics had an expense of $1.3 million, revenue of $627,000, yielding a tax support of $649,000, which yield a revenue against expense of 49.1%. Parks and Recs were $3.6 million of expense, revenue of $917K, and that yielded a tax support of $2.7 million, and that became a 25% revenue against expense. Golf expense was $4.9 million, revenues of $3.1 million, tax support of $1.8 million, yielding a 62.54 revenue against expense, which was the best across the parks division. So what dictates the closure of the golf course? There's no solid plan or budget on how the golf course will be repurposed. The cost to repurpose the land is not estimated completely. Therefore, if the golf course is closed without a solid plan, the de facto condition could be abandonment. The abandonment will reduce the property values across all of Oro Valley, thus creating a potential loss of $150 million in assessed home values, which in turn reduces the property tax allocation from Pima County to the town of Oro Valley. This was based on a study performed by the Greater Southwest Valuation Incorporated on May 6th. There's no financial advantage to closing the golf course. The opposite is true. The closure will reduce tax revenue. And as one of the members of the town mentioned before about her sons in the parks, that will reduce the amount of money available for parks also. Therefore, in my opinion, there is no sound reason to close a golf course. Keep the golf course open. Keep the tax base where it needs to be. Thank you.
Frank David at the podium. And Kathleen Gercher. In the queue.
Thank you for letting me express my opinion. My name is Frank David. I'm a resident. I play golf, but I cannot afford to live in a golf community. Town of Oro Valley purchased a golf course properties despite a large segment of the community voice in dissent and concern about that move. And the face of our town government has changed in large part because of that decision. The revenue and expense projections have proven to be faulty, and the continued support of the golf properties are a drain on the city budget and the taxpayers' money. Money that would be better spent supporting services enjoyed by the entire community, such as police, fire. How about water? We need to look ahead into our future and see the rising cost of all these necessary services, not just today or tomorrow, but 10, 30, and 50 years from now, and what the cost of this water or other services are gonna be. And can we afford that and continue to pay for golf community support? A couple of points. Golf is a declining industry with escalating associated costs. Water is a scarce, precious resource. Real estate law does not guarantee property values. Buyer beware and fluctuating market. These are known trends and facts in the industry, common throughout the language of all real estate. If I have the vacant property next to my family's home developed and it ruins my view, there's not a lot that I can do. There's nothing that real estate law can do to save my property values. It's buyer beware, folks. Vistoso Golf Club, it closed earlier this year because it could not afford to operate and cover expenses, especially when it was in competition with golf courses subsidized by the community. So I don't believe it's prudent and in the best interest of the entire community to continue throwing good money after bad. There are many golf options available. I use them. And those who want to play golf can go to those options just like I have to do. It's been said that the town should sell the property to the HOA and let the HOA figure out how they're going to support their needs for operating and sustaining that. Again, I urge you to think 30 years from now or longer, and not just for a small segment of your community, but the entire community. Thank you.
Jennifer LaVerve at the podium, and Hal Bergsma in the queue.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer LaVerve. Thank you so much for the opportunity to let our voices be heard. I relocated here 2 years ago from New England. We too moved out here from my husband's company. We had 4 hours to buy a house, legit 4 hours to buy a house. We went to Kenyatta Hills and fell in love. I'm not a golfer, my husband is. We probably bought too much house because we can't afford a membership at our own golf club. Regardless, we enjoy watching the golfers. We enjoy the lifestyle that it affords. And people are talking about buyer beware. People have spoken about property values as a whole. I'm currently HOA president of Village 16, and I speak with all of my neighbors routinely. This isn't just one conglomerate of people. These are individual people. In my neighborhood, these people invested in their homes. Many raised their families in their homes, and as they're getting older and they want to downsize and they want to relocate, they can't sell at this time because the golf course is an unknown. And that, in and of itself, is such a travesty. These are people in your community. These are people who have raised families here, paid taxes here, and we don't know what's going to happen next. When I purchased my home 2 years ago, I had no idea this was even on the table. I had no idea that this was even a possibility, or we would have made a different choice. I love this community. I want to be a part of this community. But I don't want my dream and every one of our residents' investments to become a cautionary tale of what can happen when you move to a place that doesn't care about the individual, that just focuses on the overall budget. These are your people. Each one of those people is a vote. And that cannot be dismissed. Thank you for your opportunity to speak this evening.
Thank you. Judy Conger at the podium, Mary Gravel in the queue.
Mayor, council members, town staff, fellow citizens. I'm Jody Conger. I'm a 25-year resident of Oro Valley and last 16 years in Kenyatta Hills. As a citizen, I'd like you to look at the costs from my perspective rather than just through the balance sheet. So specifically, we already heard that if the golf course closes, property values go down $150 million, and that is going to impact the revenue to all the people that get money from that. That's going to last as long as it takes for the desert vegetation to grow back. So it's a minimum of 8 years. You've heard from the Golder Ranch, Pima County, Amphi. They're all going to come back to all of us for the money. They're going to replace that revenue. The same thing is going to happen with the sales tax. When the golfers go away, play somewhere else, and then when they move away and don't spend money here, the town's going to need to replace the revenue, and it's going to come back to us, all of us. Whether you're pro or against the golf course, we're all going to have to replace these revenues. One of the things that no one's talked about, though, is the potential to tarnish the town's brand. So first, we're going to tell golfers, don't come here. But more broadly, we risk marring the town's quality of life reputation. There is no precedent for repurposing desert golf course like this to a natural vegetation. This is a first. We really don't know what it will cost, how long it will take, and what it will look like if we even finish it. And I say this because directly west of this church is the town maintenance center. The neighbors around it were told that there would be a tall perimeter wall around the facility. That was never completed. The town spent the money on other priorities. Repurposing will be the same. Future councils are not bound to honor past council promises. So with a dusty, barren Kenyatta Hills neighborhood, homeowners will say, Oro Valley, yeah, that was a beautiful place once, had a green golf course, but I heard it's very dusty and looks bad, so let's look for a house in Marana, Sahuarita. So I urge you to look at the citizens' broad interests and continue to operate the 36 holes. Consider property loss, tax revenue loss, and the town brand. The town's own data says that this is the most used amenity on a percentage base. Let's see, and it has, I think we already talked about that. The course serves far more than 240 members. In the last year, there was 57 rounds of golf, 34,000 of those were, or 60% were from non-members. They come here, they spend money, you know, drive the daily play, sponsor student marketing projects with the U of A Eller Business School, tap into the thriving top golf community. We'll all be financially better off if we keep the course open. Thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen Gercher at the podium, John Anderson in the queue.
I am Kathleen Gardner. Bill and I are original and full-time residents, 33 years, in the patio homes at the El Conquistador patio homes. I have read that you will be making golf course decisions within 2 months to include the stepsister, Push Ridge. The city has offered the course to HSL. Have you had any meetings with PRISM that manages and makes decisions for the hotel? You say Push Ridge is not making money. A few years ago, all golfers, including the 50-member Quail ladies group, had to check in at the tennis shop. Our charge slips read tennis shop. Now we sign in a receipt down in the cave, we call it, formerly the pro shop, on a hand-run machine with nothing on the receipt. And I have a copy of that, except my card number and signature. Could these funds be turned in to the community center golf funds, not showing any customers at Push Ridge? I think that should be checked into. Finally, please take down the extreme golf sign at the entrance to the hotel. As far as I'm concerned, that's not a welcoming sign for anybody wanting to play golf at Pusch Ridge, which is a lovely course with some beautiful views.
Thank you. Hal Bergsma at the podium. Jeff Weir in the queue.
Good evening, Mayor Winfield, council members. I'm Hal Bergsma. I'm a resident of Oro Valley. First, I want to thank all of you for your service to the town. Before I retired 5 years ago, I was a local government planner for about 40 years, and I know that decision-making can be difficult, especially for complex and controversial issues like this. For 6 years before I retired, I was the director of planning for the largest park and recreation district in Oregon. During my time in that position, we accomplished a lot, including consideration of a new fee structure for users of district facilities and programs. In doing that, we had to consider how much to subsidize those facilities and programs. It was generally recognized that almost all facilities and programs required some level of subsidy, with the only exception those programs that benefited a very limited number of users, such as individual tennis lessons. So it's not surprising to me that golf courses will have to be subsidized over the long term. The question is, how much subsidy should they receive from the town relative to other recreation facilities and programs that the town provides? It seems to me that subsidies should be highest for those facilities and activities that are used by the greatest number of town residents, such as parks, ball fields, and multi-use paths. And by the way, a flash vote survey by the town earlier this year showed that multi-use paths were the recreation facilities most used by town residents. So, although I'm not a golfer, I'm not against continuing subsidies for a golf operation. I just don't think golf should be subsidized to the detriment of other park and recreation facilities and programs in the town, especially those that would be used by a greater number of people in the community. Of the options under consideration, I think retaining an 18-hole public golf course with conversion of 18 holes to parked, well-manicured park space and pathways would be your best choice, unless other parties such as adjacent HOAs or property owners are also willing to participate in subsidizing a 36-hole operation. Again, thank you for your service and for providing the opportunity to address you on this issue.
Thank you. Mary Gravel at the podium, Mike Chopek in the queue.
Mr. Mayor and Council, my name is Mary Gravel, and my husband and I have been Oro Valley residents for 14 years. I appreciate the opportunity to address you directly. We joined the rec center a few years ago because we wanted to support the town and their purchase of the property. Earlier this year, we joined the golf course for the same reason. It was a put your money where your mouth is decision for us, and we have been very satisfied. The town's El Conquistador golf courses are an amazing asset, and they help to define Oro Valley and contribute to Oro Valley being a destination people want to visit and a place where people want to live. Please don't discount their value to the town as a whole. I attended the Budget Commission meeting last week, and I was extremely disappointed that two of the commissioners spent time and effort creating their own cost analysis, essentially duplicating and discounting the analysis done by the town staff. One amazingly bright light that came from that meeting, however, was a statement made by David Newell when he said that we need to move forward. We need to move past how the property was purchased, and we need to find a way to make it work. I paraphrase, as he had a whole story about dessert versus vegetables that evening. David Newell also put forward a proposal to maintain 36 holes of golf, a proposal that will need negotiation and agreement, yes, but a proposal that is a starting point to get all parties to the table. I respectfully ask the council to use David Newell's proposal as a starting point and meet with the Homeowners Association, the El Conquistador Men's and Women's Golf Associations, Troon, and the Budget Commission, and find a middle ground everyone can live with that allows Oro Valley to keep 36 holes of beautiful green golf smack dab in the center of town. If we have to forego something, allow HSL to take over the Bush Ridge 9 holes, but please find a way that allows the town to keep the Kenyatta and Conquistador courses as 36 holes. If every side gives a little, Oro Valley can gain a lot. Thank you for your time.
John Anderson at the podium, Karen Stingle in the queue.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Anderson. I'm 85 years old. My dad took me golfing when I was 15, and he said, son, stay with this game because you can play it when you're in your 80s if you live so long and you can still walk. My dad was a prophet. I'm for 36 holes, retaining 36 holes of golf. Nobody mentioned the word tourism all evening, I don't think. At one time, I was travel advertising director at the Chicago Sun-Times, and it was the best job I ever had. Tourism is a big item, and golf course here in Oro Valley is a big item for tourism. Brings a lot of revenue in, will continue to bring a lot of revenue in for a long, long time. I personally have a benefit to myself because I do have a home on the golf course, but the golf courses are an amenity for all of Oro Valley. Every resident in Oro Valley benefits from the amenities that are here. And sometimes we don't think about that. We think, well, you live on the golf course, you're really lucky and all that, which is true. My home values have increased since I got here. I'd like to think that I would have that increase to pass on to my family when I pass. In the meantime, my golf is very limited, so I don't have the same need for all the golf. I'm down to 9 holes or less right now, but I'm trying to work my way back. I fell in love with my wife when I first met her when I was 34 years old. I was a late bloomer. I came here to Oro Valley hearing about the mountains and wanting to see it. I had already retired, my wife and I, in Hilton Head. We also retired in Sarasota. Nothing was like Oro Valley. We saw the mountains. I fell in love with the mountains in Oro Valley and all the people instantly, just like I fell in love with my wife. I appreciate being here, and we all should thank God for living in Oro Valley. We have the finest police force, the finest fire department. Everything's an amenity, especially the people. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. I could listen to you all night. Jeff Weir at the podium. Jack Stennett in the queue.
Jeff Weir, resident. Second time, as a matter of fact. Liked it so much we came back. Just a couple of things I want to point out. I guess if you eliminate the golf courses, you eliminate the half-cent sales tax. That's its purpose. That's what it's dedicated for, correct? The other thing I noticed is in the community center fund, I think it was attachment C1, for some reason it indicates there's a surplus of $425,000 after the support from the sales tax, which is what the sales tax is there for, to support it. I'm still trying to understand why you want to look at creating open space in a private neighborhood. We don't want it. We don't need it. I have more open space. In fact, I'd like you to take some of it. It's a huge wash. Maybe you can make use of it. The golf course, the way it's laid out right now, the El Conquistador course, holes 3, 4, and 5, it's a closed neighborhood. Those are private streets. Anybody going to use it? Where are you going to park? You can't park. Our HOA doesn't allow. And the PAD itself doesn't allow you to do certain things. If you're going to change this from a golf course, you're going to have to rezone the property. It's zoned for golfing, not open space. It can be looked at as open space. When I create a park, you're going to have to go through a general plan amendment, I would assume, and a bunch of other stuff. That just brings into question a couple other things. ARS 12-1134 clearly states if the action of municipality diminishes our property values, we get to ask you to pay for it. Please, please take a look at that.
Please hold your applause. Thank you.
I said this before, and I'm just kind of surprised that not all this information is as widely known as it should be. I heard the attorney say something. What about the PAD? The PAD has, by definition, legal standing. There are property rights. It defines that golf course to our advantage. That's why we bought the houses we did. You take that away, someone has to pay for it, and it shouldn't be us. We're giving you the money to keep the golf courses open. Let's figure out a way to do this. And by the way, please change the Budget and Finance Commission meeting to sometime later than 4 o'clock. How does anybody show up unless you're retired? Hold the meetings and make it an opportunity for us to provide some input to the commission. The last thing I'd like to say is someone's going to pay for the water. Guess who it is? All of us. Thank you.
Mike Chopek at the podium. Pam Holmes in the queue.
Mr. May and members of the council, my name is Mike Chopek. I am a resident of the town of Oro Valley, and I've been a member at El Conquistador Golf and Tennis since the winter of 2001. And I'm currently serve as the president of the El Conquistador Men's Golf Association. A multitude of issues related to the golf course have already been addressed very well by other speakers. And I previously addressed you as the president of the Men's Golf Association, both in testimony and in writing, on a number of issues. Tonight, I have something personal to say. This December, I will celebrate my 75th birthday, barring some circumstance I'd rather not contemplate. And of course, at this point, I'm also using the term celebrate with a modicum of irony. But here's my point. We had a colleague at El Conquistador. His name is Peter Farina. Until his wife passed away and Peter had to move back east to live with his oldest son, he played golf two or three times a week. The thing is, Peter was 96 years old when he had to leave. Pretty amazing. And he refused to move up to the closer set of tees where he might have been more competitive. He said he didn't think that would be fair. Of course, that's not why he played. He played to be with his friends and have lunch with them afterwards. Now, I know I'm not Pete Farina. I figure I'll be able to play another 5 to 7 years. See, I'm not an advocate for maintaining 36 holes of golf at El Conquistador because I selfishly want a place to continue playing golf. I'm an advocate for maintaining these golf courses because I sincerely believe they are a community asset that is incredibly valuable and, if abandoned, can never be replaced. They served when built as an important focal point for this part of the community, and they remain so. Sure, they were used once as a way to sell homes, but that time has passed, and they represent more than that now. They are an inherent part of the fabric of this part of town and the community as a whole. Eliminating them would be a tragic mistake. My advocacy then is about two things: the human beings like Peter who enjoyed this property, and about not abandoning a part of the fabric of this community that you will never, ever replace.
Thank you. Karen Stengel at the podium. We're approaching 8 o'clock. When Karen is done, I'm going to ask the two, Jack Stennett, Pam Holmes, I'm going to put you on hold while we do a 15-minute break. I'm going to read a few names so that if we will start at 8:15. Karen?
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Karen Stengel, and I've been a resident of Oro Valley for 7 years. I'm here to address the social aspect of what El Conquistador means to me. When my husband Gary and I moved to Oro Valley, we knew only one person, our real estate agent and friend, who had moved here a few years before us from Wisconsin. Gary had been stationed down here in the Air Force at Davis-Monthan, so he was familiar with how wonderful the state of Arizona and particularly Oro Valley were. Our children, who live in Colorado and North Carolina, were worried what we would do and who would we do it with. Now they wonder if we will be home when they call. We have made many new friends, and it's only possible because of El Conquistador. We have both taken up the sport of golf in our later years, and that became our one common denominator in meeting people and making new friends. We don't use the aquatic center, archery range, parks, dog parks, baseball or soccer fields, but we do golf. After checking out many of the area public courses, we soon realized that El Conquistador was the one we wanted to join, especially with it being under Troon management. It's another one of the amenities that makes Oro Valley great. I have a group of 27 ladies that I send an email out to every week to see who is available to golf with me on Friday mornings. Some are residents, some are snowbirds, but we all try to clear our calendars to play on Friday morning. From this group of ladies, some of us also play mahjong, cards, go out to dinner on other days of the week at the Overlook. Again, the common denominator is that we are getting out, doing fun things with other people, and not sitting at home alone in our homes. I also have with me four lists of approximately 200 members and supporters of El Conquistador who gave me permission to use their names because they could not be here tonight, but they still want you to know that they are supportive of the golf courses. I have copies for each of you if you would like them. The club just started the first tee program for young golfers. It's a great opportunity for the senior active adults to meet and work with the younger players and to share our passion for the game of golf. El Conquistador is more than a golf and fitness club. It's a real asset to the town of Oro Valley. It's a place for people of all ages to meet, talk, and share their problems. The only thing holding us up from gaining new members is the uncertainty which surrounds your decision of how many holes will continue to make up El Conquistador. El Conquistador is truly a community center, and I look forward to the day when you will speak its name with pride it deserves. Thank you.
Karen, you can give those names to Amanda Jacobs.
Okay.
We're going to take a 15-minute break. We'll return at 8:15. Jack Stennett will take the podium, followed by Pam Holmes. The following individuals will be in the queue: Phil Green, Mary Reed, and Harry Green. Phil Green, Mary Reed, and Harry Green, if you could please be back here close to 8:15. Thank you. Okay, so I have Jack Stennett at the podium. If we could please end our conversations, take a seat if you plan to stay. Thank you for cutting the music. We appreciate again the Church of the Nazarene for making this facility available. Thank you. Yeah. And again, I appreciate the fact that you've held applause, no jeering or disrupting our meeting. Thank you very much. You've been a great, great audience. Jack Stennett.
Mr. Mayor, Council, my name is Jack Stennett, and I'm an Oro Valley resident since 2012. In my corporate career, I've participated in many business plan reviews, presenting my division's plan and observing other divisions' plans. The purpose of a forecast is to as accurately as possible predict the future, both in revenues and in costs, so that when management makes a strategic decision, they have the best basis for doing that. In witnessing the town's forecast for the 36-hole option, I don't believe that does that. The town implies the 36-hole option will cost only $11 million in a future 10-year period. It understates the cost and misrepresents the losses the town will incur. In December 2014, the same forecasters, Troon and the town, said that we would lose $2 million before turning golf profitable this year. Through May of this year, we have lost over $8.8 million in golf and restaurant operations and have budgeted to lose $1.8 million more this year that's just started. That will be $10.5 million of operating losses in 5 years. The town forecast conveniently picks a period in time 3 years in the future. This occurs after repairs costing us another $4 million are completed and provides a base case hypothetical of what the 36 holes could look like if everything went right. And that hypothetical says they'll lose $1 million a year, half of what we've experienced to date. I find that very unlikely. The forecast conveniently ignores over $5 million in losses for the next 3 years. The $1.8 million this year, and the several millions that we'll lose while we're restructuring the course. The town says because the irrigation repairs will be so disruptive, the loss just can't be estimated. Next, the forecast understates inflation over a 13-year period. This year, Troon's wage and benefit inflation increased $100,000 over the past year. A first look by the Budget and Finance Commission showed that the 30-hole option might cost $30 million over the same period. The town's projection indicate that the 36-hole option is probably our best, and in my opinion, it's the worst. For the council to decide on what makes the best decision, the financial basis of that must be based on accurate forecasts. And the town and Troon have shown in the past, and I think in this, that their forecasts are not accurate and to be relied upon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pam Holmes at the podium and Arthur Lee in the queue. And I'm going to read those others just because of the break. After Pam Holmes, we have Phil Green, Mary Reed, Harry Green, and Arthur Lee in the queue. Is Pam, is Pam Green not here? All right. Mary Reed?
Mayor and council and all my fellow Oro Valley residents, I'm Mary Reed, and I am a resident for the past 22 years here. I've raised my family. I want you to imagine our beautiful hometown. My five-year-old once described it as that she lives in a town that has a crown of mountains and emerald jewels that shine in the valley. Those emerald jewels are our golf courses. This is our brand. This is what draws us here. In many cases, this is what keeps us here. This is how people throughout the nation and around the world think of us as that beautiful crown of mountains and jewels in the valley. We have iconic views that we will not ruin, and we have iconic community amenities that we can, in fact, remove. But I wanted to say that our golf courses are a focal point, in my opinion, for community, for golfers, for early morning walkers, kids, kites, and bikes. They're a joy, and we lose these icons at our own peril. Everyone else has talked to you about dollars and cents. I want to talk to you about vision and brand. I know of no other community, and I have looked, that has lost such iconic golf courses, such beauty, and successfully managed the transition. I don't golf. I do not live on a golf course. But I'm asking you, please, to keep the 36 holes, keep the icons of the Oro Valley brand.
Mary Reed at the podium. Sorry, Mary. This is harder than what it looks. Harry Green at the podium, Mike DeSantis in the queue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council, Pastor Craig Coulter, for this lovely venue, and thanks for the opportunity of speaking. My name is Harry Green. I'm a doctor of medicine and a 30-year born-again resident of Oro Valley. I love it here. What I mean by that is I moved here in 1989 and left for a dream job as a publisher in 1994. Then after retiring, I chose to return here in 2001 and hopefully to live out the rest of my days in a great town where I can relax and golf. I'll tell you up front, I favor 36 holes of golf before the hook pulls me down. This evening, I'm going to draw on the wisdom of three great golfers, Albert Einstein, the Reverend Billy Graham, and Evel Knievel. When we arrived here from Boston, we bought a lot and built our home next to the El Conquistador golf course. We paid a bit more for the location and the view. When I wasn't busy teaching young doctors, I volunteered a lot in Oro Valley, and I did a lot for the Arts Council and so forth. My dad eventually came out here, and he was a golfer, and he golfed until his 90s. He said his only regret was he hadn't discovered Oro Valley 10 years earlier. We scattered his ashes, as he had wished, where he could see the green fairways of the courses he loved here in Oro Valley. I'm reminded of a saying by Einstein on the dangers of the I win, you lose merging in politics. He said, "It's difficult to say what truth is, but it's far easier to recognize a falsehood. Fear and stupidity have always been the basis for most ill-advised human decisions and actions." I'm personally glad that our town council has allowed the wisdom and has the wisdom to listen to many ideas as we've heard today before coming to a decision. The Reverend Billy Graham, who died last fall, said, "For me, a golf course is an island of peace in a world of confusion and turmoil. Some of the ideas for my best sermons were conceived, thanks to God, on a golf course." In closing, I want to quote Evel Knievel. "I learned one thing," he said, "from jumping motorcycles over cars and buses, one thing that is most useful on the putting green. Don't leave it short." Let's listen to Evel Knievel. Let's not go for a 9-hole or 27-hole. Let's go for the whole 36. Thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Arthur Lee at the podium, Roy Taylor in the queue.
I am Arthur Lee. I live on the golf course. We have been here since 1994. Most of what I have on these sheets today have been covered seven ways from Sunday. So I'll just take a couple of things and talk to you about them. There is a significant chance that any golf course confirmations will not be completed and will make the property value reductions permanent. Since repurposing could take 4 to 8 years, administrative changes in elected officials, as happened last year, could negate, stop, or change actions entirely. And that would leave the property in a partially completed state with further property losses. Of all of the tax-supported amenities in this community, I think that the golf course is one of the most utilized. When you look at the number of people that play golf, if you look at the parks, people aren't out there when it's hot. People are walking on the cart paths, on the cart paths in the golf course, and they're walking on the paths in the city, but they're not utilizing the parks, and they cost a lot of money. They're not utilizing the swimming pool except for a portion of the year, and that costs a lot of money. I can't believe for a minute that this council would take the properties that we have over there at an estimated $42 million replacement and substantially reduce that with no savings to the citizens of Oro Valley. There will be no savings regardless of what you do with these golf courses. You don't intend to relinquish that 2% or that 0.5% tax. Therefore, there are no savings. And that's the biggest point that I would like to make tonight, is that it, if you change anything, it still will not give any money back to this community. I thank you.
Thank you. We have Mike DeSantis at the podium, Dudley Woodard in the queue. Roy Taylor. Let me just check, Roy. So Mike DeSantis.
Okay. Apparently he's not here. Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Roy Taylor. I'm a 23-year resident of Oro Valley and a long-suffering member of the golf facility. The numerous preceding owners included three different real estate investment trusts, and they did not do a good job of maintaining this facility. As a result, the city acquired a facility that needed a lot of tender, loving care. The city, in partnership with Troon Purvey, has greatly improved the golf courses, are now in extremely favorable playing conditions, and the 34,000 outside rounds of daily fee this year has been steadily increasing over the years. In spite of this improvement in the golf course, the membership has lagged due to the dark cloud of uncertainty which has hung over the facility due to the ongoing discussions regarding closure. Numerous tournaments are held here annually. Pardon me. Several include Operation Graduation, which provides a lot of the funds for the high school graduations in the whole in this community. The facility has also been a venue for the American Junior Golf Association weekend tournament, which brings junior golfers and their parents from over the western U.S., Canada, and even entrants from Pacific Rim countries. This event introduces a lot of new people to Oro Valley, and they spend money while they are here. The Men's and Ladies Club also hold charitable tournaments, raising funds for Breast Cancer Foundation, Prostate Cancer Foundation, and an annual Christmas fundraiser for Toys for Tots or other local charitable operations providing toys for needy children in the local area. In addition to full course usage, Troon has instituted a junior PGA program, which one of the young ladies addressed earlier, a first tee designated program, which introduces young children to the game of golf, and they hold numerous golf camps for children, which are going on this week as we speak. This facility has been a cornerstone for golfers of like mind from groups and friendships that would not have been possible without this amenity. While I know a lot of the type of information I've spoke of here have not been publicized and are not knowledgeable for those in the community, those wishing to close the facility need to know they are affecting a lot more than just trying to offset operating costs for golf. I might add at this point that the final cost of the township has been steadily decreasing. The 2017 consultant's report, which has been the background for most of the numbers put forth here, was done pre-Vistosa closing, so there's less golf in the community now. I urge you and any of your fellow citizens to put aside any possible animosity over how the acquisition of this great facility was executed and any preconceived notions as to what the amenity is all about, and implore you to discover that golf means a lot to our citizens, to continue the 36-hole option for the golf course. Thank you.
So Dudley Woodard at the podium, and I'm going to Linda Green in the queue, Fred Swierdzinski in the queue, and Joe Kuchka in the queue. Have I missed you?
Yeah, you missed me.
What? Tell me your name.
Phil Bryan.
Okay, Phil, come forward, please. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No worries, thank you. I know there's a lot going on. My name is Phil Grime. I moved to Oro Valley 2 years ago with my wife, moved here for a job. We are on the golf course. I'm on number 12 on Conquistador. We have probably the closest spot to the golf course with the cart path coming right by our back gate. I've been known to pass out some beverages on hot days to the golfers, including leaving coolers of water for our veterans on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and 4th of July. We love it. We love the camaraderie around the golf course. We love the social aspect of it. One thing that I haven't heard a lot, though, is the amount of tourism that I think does come in for the golf course and for people coming to Oro Valley. We had moved here 2 years ago. Most of my friends from our home had never been to Tucson or anywhere in this area. I had six friends of mine from college come down one weekend where we played probably the worst rounds of golf that has ever been played. But we all had a great time. They were so amazed by the beauty of the golf course and the beauty of Oro Valley that two of them actually have brought their wife back and are considering moving here themselves as we're all approaching that retirement age. The golf course is what really showed Oro Valley. It showcased Oro Valley, the beautiful views, the outstanding playing conditions that Troon has managed, the landscaping. Everything about it is outstanding, and it's a true asset to Oro Valley. When you think of the word attractive, it's an adjective. It means pleasing or appealing to the senses. That's what that golf course is. It's attractive. When you think of the word dilapidated, it's an adjective in a state of disrepair or ruin as a result of neglect. If you look at the golf courses, at the golf course that closed out at Rancho Vistoso, you see what's dilapidated. That is not attractive. If that was in our backyard, I can guarantee you my friends would not be bringing their wives back for another visit to Oro Valley and potentially relocating here. I think the job of the city council is to look at what this is for the community, really how it brings things to Oro Valley. It is attractive. It attracts people to come here, to move here. Having an operating golf course attracts businesses. They can come in here, they can move to Oro Valley and bring more people. If you close it down, look at what's dilapidated up at Rancho Vistoso, that's not going to be very attractive for promoting Oro Valley. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Linda Green to the podium. Rob Wanzik in the queue. Oh, did I?
Would you like Dudley?
Did I miss? Are you Dan Dudley?
No, but there was a Dan Dudley, but I'm a Dudley Woodard.
Dudley Woodard. Okay. Yeah, you sure are. Yeah. Dudley Woodard.
And I'm used to this all the time, so that's all right.
Okay, Dudley.
Good evening, and I go by Doug. Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity to talk to you. We moved here in 1983. Our four sons graduated from CDO, and then we decided to move up to the golf course in 2001. And we bought a home on the golf course. I'd like to address repurposing. I know some of the comments have been made, but perhaps I'm making them in a little different way. First, as outlined in the report given to the Budget and Finance Commission on financial projections for the town golf course options, there are significant costs associated with both repurposing and ongoing maintenance. Estimates were either based on costs for the big wash restoration or cost estimates from another landscape architect. My understanding is that a full feasibility cost study has not been done to corroborate these estimates. My experience from being involved with construction projects at the University of Arizona is that initial project cost estimates are often exceeded. It seems to me that a feasibility study should be done before proceeding any further unless repurposing is not an option. Second, I checked with the American Hiking Association, and the recommendation is 25 miles of hiking trails for a community of 50,000. Oro Valley has 54.5 miles of hiking trails for a community of 44,000, twice as many. So do we need more trails? Third, any bulldozing and blading done to repurpose the land will create a lot of soil and dirt disturbance. The golf course has had chemicals soaking into the ground for over 30 years. What happens to the air during repurposing? Could it cause health hazards such as valley fever? Has this been considered? Fourth, returning to natural vegetation will likely increase potential for brush and buffalo grass fires, especially in high density areas. And has this been considered? The Kanata Hills Master Homeowners Association and the Men's Golf Association have made several proposals for the financial feasibility of the two courses. And I hope you will consider these financial proposals in your decision making. I am sure in your own experiences that as we learn more about a project, we learn things we did not know, which will change our views. And I want to close with one comment. I had opportunity to play with my two sons, three grandsons golf 2 weeks ago. That's a very special time in one's life, and I know that's reproduced all over this community. Thank you.
Linda Green at the podium. Thank you. Linda Green at the podium. Dan Sanchez in the queue.
I thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the Town Council, for this opportunity to speak. My name is Linda Green, and I live in Oro Valley, where I enjoy a beautiful view of the golf course, Push Ridge, and the Tucson Nightlights. In full disclosure, my husband plays a lot of golf at the town courses. I'm here to voice my support for the 36-hole option that was presented to the Budget and Finance Committee by Mr. Newell last Wednesday. This, to me, is the best option that I've heard discussed among the Oro Valley residents, be it personal conversations, pieces that I see in the Explorer, or in organized meetings. This plan should be thoroughly discussed, evaluated, adjusted if necessary, and then adopted for the following one reason. It is a compromise that benefits all of the residents of Oro Valley. The golfers get their course. The bikers and the walkers get their trail time. The adjacent properties maintain their values. The town maintains its revenue. Businesses get the amenity incentives for their company and employees. Oro Valley maintains its reputation as a high-quality town in which to live. I am very proud to be part of the La Cañada Neighborhood Association, which is putting their money where their mouth is by offering $200,000 yearly contract to help this community resolve what has become a very divisive issue. It's a reasonable plan. I urge you to give it a thorough evaluation and approval. Thank you.
Fred Swerdinsky.
Good evening. My name is Fred Swiderski, and I've been a resident of Oro Valley since 1994. First of all, I'd like to thank several of the people up on the stage today that agreed to meet with me and to help me understand what's going on with this process. The majority of the things on my list have been discussed, so I won't burden you with my thoughts on those, but one of the things that was important to me is that at a recent meeting, we discussed the need for providing funding for our police department retirement. And I agree with that. But I think what's equally as important is for you to consider the retirement funding for the residents of Oro Valley. They have investments in their home, and those potential losses in their home can affect their future, and in many cases will affect their future. So the residents are, in our community, in my eyes, are equally as important as our police department. So please give that some thought and consideration. I think I've hit them. Like I said, I won't burden you with the other items because they've been discussed ad nauseum. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Joe Kutcha at the podium. Ed Slintz in the queue.
Mayor Winfield, Vice Mayor, and Council Members. I'm Joe Kutcha, retired aerospace and professional mechanical engineer. I'm an Oro Valley resident living on the 11th fairway of the El Conquistador Golf Course for the past 25 years. I direct my comments to the Mayor and Council, but especially to the mayor. If you think I'm very upset about what you're doing to residential housing values with your plans for our golf course, you got the message. You have been presented with real estate data showing how the golf course communities are already suffering a local housing crisis because of your repurposing plan. We were digging out of the 2008 housing crisis, but not now. You appear to be oblivious to the fact that when golf courses close, housing values fall substantially and they never come back. Why would you so callously disregard $150 million in lost homeowner equity? It is a campaign promise to some of your political cronies. Do you think you got elected because you promised to close the golf course? Mr. Mayor, at the June 6th Kenyatta Hills Village 19 meeting, you said, you don't like grass. That was a flippant remark, highlighting the fact that you don't care about and are not listening to the residents. So much for transparency. My wife and I voted for you to curtail the overdevelopment in Oro Valley, also to get someone in office that wasn't cozy with the developers. We would have never voted for you if we knew you would close the golf course. We still hope the other council members have more sense. Why am I so upset about this? I stand to lose $60,000 to $100,000 in equity. I've already lost $20,000 because of the uncertainty you have caused. Realtors are currently disclosing golf course issue to buyers and lenders, putting sellers under pressure to lower prices. After 50 years of home ownership, I've finally paid off my home. Equity is my retirement fund to pay for assisted living expenses, provide supplemental income as we age. You're putting me and my family in serious jeopardy. There are some very real issues for home equity that affect all of the residents. Financial crisis and debt consolidation. Equity pays for college education, home rebuilding, small business startup expenses, career relocation, new home down payment, medical financial crisis, old age supplement, assisted living, end of life expenses, and legal expenses. Home equity loans drive the local economy. As equity decreases, so do local jobs. A loss of 10% in home value is considered enough to start a recession. The decision to buy the golf course by the last administration was the right one, even though the way it was handled upset many. Get over it, and don't punish the residents because of a political grudge. Parks and recreation budgets should be used for all residents. Middle and lower age residents don't use public swimming ranges or kiddie parks. Many play golf, $5,000 a month. Many play tennis and go to the gym for therapy. Many use the golf ranges. The half-cent sales tax impact to residents is minuscule, with one-third of the sales tax collected from non-residents.
Sir, that's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob Wonsek at the podium. And Mary Ann Mitchell in the queue.
Excuse Mayor, me, Councilman. I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Mayor, we also have Dan Sanchez in the queue. Is Mr. Sanchez still
correct
here?
Yeah, Dan said, okay.
My name is Rob Wonsek. I've been a resident of Oro Valley. I've lived on a golf course for about 25 years. I'm here in support of the 36-hole option. However, I'm not proposing to throw good money after bad. I think we could make some compromises, and that's something that I haven't heard here yet. If you look at the option A of the National Golf Foundation, they also proposed a 36-hole option, but they had some reconfigurations. They were going to reduce the turf by about 20 acres, and with that, the less irrigation, less maintenance, they would be able to save 20%. Now, with those holes that were going to be repurposed, okay, which includes holes, Kenyatta holes 1 and 2, Kenyatta hole 16, part of Kenyatta hole 16, and Conquistador hole 12, right? If you're driving up or driving down La Kenyatta and you look off to the east towards the mountains, you see a beautiful green space, you see beautiful pond or lake. Now, wouldn't that be nice as a nice city park? Why couldn't we take those holes that were going to be discontinued in the option A and convert that to a city park? How much would it cost? Another $300,000 at $20,000 an acre? I don't know. Maybe $400,000. But it seems to me that with a little bit of investment and a little bit of compromise, okay, we could lower the cost of the operation of the golf course, increase the revenue because of the stability, and yet still provide a public park in the middle of town for all of the residents to enjoy. So I would propose you to take that into consideration. Think a little bit out of the box. Let's see how we can come together with a compromise. The other thing I would like to point out is, though, I believe you have a fiduciary responsibility, maybe not legally, but certainly morally, to the people that are living on the golf course and the potential losses that they may incur. I personally and others could lose up to $40,000. Now, what does it cost to, what is everybody else paying for the golf course, the rest of the community, all right? If you take the $1.7 million, which I heard was the subsidy this year or last year or whatever it was, and you divide that by the 18,000 plus residents, you come up to about 90 bucks a year. If you divide that by the 50,000 rounds that are played, or 45,000 rounds that are played, it comes up to 0.2 cents a year, okay? Who's gonna be hurt the most? Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Sanchez at the podium, Marie Daniels in the queue.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and Town Council. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. My name's Dan Sanchez. I live in Cañada Hills on the 18th hole. I was 2 years ago, I retired from the federal government. I was a criminal investigator for 30 years. And I've moved 11 times all over the country. I've lived in many states. And a few years ago, I had the opportunity to come to Tucson on a case. And I stayed at the Hilton Conquistador. And I got to visit Oro Valley a little bit. And I immediately fell in love with Oro Valley. I had the opportunity when I was nearing my retirement to choose anywhere in the country that I could retire. And I chose to come to Oro Valley. And I bought that home in Cañada Hills. We love the golf course. I'm vehemently opposed to any getting rid of the golf course in any way, shape, or form. I don't golf. But we walk every morning. We take our dog for walks in the golf course in the evenings. My stepdaughter plays volleyball in the golf course. And I've lived all over the country. Most recently, I lived in Los Angeles, and I've seen a transformation in Los Angeles. Open spaces that were once just open spaces have turned into homeless encampments, terrible things that happen in these places. And I don't know if anybody's considered what might happen if we did that. Also, the fire dangers in Los Angeles, open spaces turn into fire hazards and become a danger to the community. And I basically have 2 points. One is, if we bought a home at a golf course, it's because it's in a golf course. We expected people to be playing golf. We never expected that this would be changed from being a golf course. If I had known that this would be transformed, I would never have purchased a home in Cañada Hills. Secondly, typically prices, cost of living goes in this direction, not in this direction. So if it costs us more money in taxes or in homeowners' fees, that's expected. I would happily and willingly pay a little more every year to be able to keep the golf course. If people are complaining about not having parks or places to play basketball, I invite them to move to Marana or something. Thank you.
Hey, Ed, please hold the applause. Ed Slentz at the podium.
My name is Ed Slentz, and I've lived here for 25 years. The town staff, town manager's office, finance department, budget and finance commission have completed many analyses. In all of the analyses done to date, however, the town has completely ignored and failed to address and inform the citizens of Oro Valley the huge loss in their property values that would occur with any proposed closure scenario. The much outdated July 2017 NGF consulting report commissioned by Oro Valley and being used by departments of the town of Oro Valley in their analyses recommended on page 71 that an appraisal company be engaged to address property value degradation because they, the consultants, did not have that type of expertise. The town of Oro Valley has declined to have such an outside analysis performed. The Kenyatta Hills Community Association hired early this year an Arizona certified general real estate appraisal firm, the Brecken Nava Group, to estimate the impact to Oro Valley property values if the course closes or partially closes. They submitted in April a 77-page report. Brecken Nava performs appraisals all over the United States as completed appraisals in areas where golf courses have closed. Copies of this report have been submitted and discussed with many of you and applicable city personnel, but has been ignored. References have been made to just some lost property value. A quick summary of their findings. Based on the home values around other closed Arizona golf courses, the 545 homes directly along the Oro Valley courses will be subject to a loss of 18 to 30% in value. That could be $50,000 to $125,000. The remaining 764 homes in the golf course communities will lose up to 9%, $30,000 to $45,000. The rest of Oro Valley's approximately 14,500 homes would lose up to 2%, $5,000 to $10,000 per home. This can total between $75 and $150 million in property value lost to residents of Oro Valley. This is a massive number of lost homeowner equity. Long Realty, and concurred with by other realty firms, published a 2019 chart, which you've been furnished, showing that real estate values in the Oro Valley zip code have gone down since 2018 by 1 to 10%. While the majority of all of the zip codes in the entire Tucson region have increased in value by 1 to 20%. Impact Oro Valley property values and associating cascading effects should be factored into any and all analysis numbers by the town manager, finance offices, as well as the budget and finance commission reports yet to be submitted. It must be shared with the public before any vote is taken by town council. If this is done, I'm sure the logical, honest, responsible, and ethical conclusion reached will be to keep the course at 36-hole minimum. I urge you to consider and analyze the report property value impact. Thank you.
Thank you. Mary Ann Mitchell at the podium. Well, Mary Ann Mitchell. Marie Daniels. Okay. So those are the, unfortunately, we have exhausted our time to receive blue cards. You may take someone's place. So this is the problem. So we had intended to close the blue card period earlier. I spoke with the council about pulling back their 7 minutes to 5 minutes. We are going to, we have, as I mentioned at the outset of this meeting, to honor our commitment to the church, the meeting will end at 9:45. So here are the options. I probably have 50 plus blue cards that we're not going to be able to get to this evening. Here are the options. And Gary, you can help me here in terms of, but here are options. You can
please don't interrupt the mayor.
Here are the options.
Please don't interrupt the mayor. Please don't interrupt the mayor. Please. I'm sorry. The public meeting. Stop.
Well, I, of course, I have 50 blue cards of individuals that like to speak. If we can keep it to three individuals, okay. So this, you had your hand up. So this, so three is turned into six. I.
They, have a I'll take 2 minutes.
They kept it at 3 minutes, but anyway, okay. You want to speak or continue? Okay. I've consulted here with the council. It's important for the council to have an opportunity to speak. As I mentioned, it's been January since the council has spoken on this topic in a public setting other than executive session. I have 50 plus blue cards here. Obviously, not everyone is going to have the opportunity to speak, but here are your options. The council has agreed that I'll allow 5 additional speakers, and that's it for this evening. For those that didn't have an opportunity to speak, your options are to submit a written statement to the town clerk. It will be distributed to the council and to the town manager. That's one option, submit a written statement. We'll be meeting a week from tonight, the 31st, in our town chambers. We're not limited by time. We are limited by space. But if you choose, you can come to the council meeting a week from tonight, and you'll have an opportunity. The golf operations is on the agenda, and we'll be deliberating about this a week from this evening. So I realize that's an inconvenience for those of you that have come this evening. So those are your options. Submit a written statement. Come join us a week from tonight in town chambers, recognizing we have limited space, relatively unlimited time to a point. Okay, so let me see 5. I've got 1, 2, 3... 4, and I'll come to this side of the room, the gentleman in the back. Okay, so come forward. Those are the 5 individuals. And then, so please come forward to the, yep, thank you. All right.
My name is Bob Knitch. I came here this evening to make the town of Arrow Valley more money.
Can you state if you're a resident or not?
Yes, I'm a resident. I came here to make the town more money, to keep the golf course as the golf courses as they are, and to make the citizens happier than they are today. Most of us are here this evening because of the declining participation in the game of golf. It's a very difficult game. It's the number one problem in the golf industry. Please allow me to share my Grow the Game initiative, which was designed to increase profits for golf course owners by making the game a little easier, more fun, lower scores, and speeding up the pace of play. Like I mentioned earlier, the game is very difficult. I'm going to keep my remarks to a minimum. I know time is very important. I would also like to challenge the gentleman from Troon Golf, the largest management company in the world, to review my proposal in order to revitalize the game. I have some papers here that I just dug out of my house. One of them is news release from the local paper here in town. The headlines read, Arrow Valley Man Trying to Save Golf by Making It Easier. I think that's why I came here tonight. And one last thing. My proposal will improve the course appeal, profit, and make the game more fun. We'll drag people in from the mountains, from the exclusive golf courses. once we make the game easier. It's too fun. Too many people are quitting because the handicaps have not been reduced in 50 years. Most of the golf course owners and management companies realize that 91% of the golfers do not break 100. That means they need a lot of help. We can give them the help of my proposal. Thank you. Where's the gentleman?
Well, it's almost good night instead of good evening. My name is Brad Curtis. My wife and I moved to Sun City Oro Valley in 2012. We believe that this is the perfect place for our final move. Compared to our last five moves with IBM, this one's got to be the best by far. Incidentally, we moved from Sun City Roseville, another Sun City, just outside of Sacramento. So we have 25 years of adult living and also how we relate to the cities that we played in. I'm not here to join the debate over choices. However, I do favor the no golf option. No, I'm here to suggest that we be very careful that we do it right. Let's not jump to conclusions, and for crying out loud, don't make suppositions based on false data. What I'm referring to is, has anyone taken any look at the actual costs of maintaining our course, the actual costs that we have paid to Troon, and what have they used them for? Has anyone done the actual look into the last 3 years, which in your slide there, I looked at the statistics you quoted, and it's surprising they're just about what's in the budget for 2018. We cannot afford to make a decision like this in 30 days or 60 days and be wrong. We've got to do it right. And so what I'm saying is that before you make any solid decision, I think you should go back to that slide that you have there that says how many every years of income or whatever, and look at the real cost and make sure that you have the facts to back up all of the recommendations and the one you choose. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you for allowing me to speak. I really appreciate it. I've been sitting here for a couple hours and would like my voice heard, so thank you so much.
Appreciate Keep in mind it. Others have as well, so carry on.
I'll use my 3 minutes. Saul brings some levity to our situation. Have you ever heard the saying, the beatings will continue until morale improves? That's what it feels like tonight here. I think the people have spoken very loudly about what we want to do with this golf course. I'm a 20-year resident of the town of Oro Valley. I'm vested in the community. I'm with the Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce. Our job is to promote this community, bring new business into this community, and connect them to other partners to help us grow and prosper and make this a great community for everybody to live in. One of the best things about being on the chamber is that we get to see this beautiful golf course and everything that surrounds it. I oppose any partial or total closure of the golf courses. Me and a majority of a lot of these people who live in Oro Valley have vested interest in our homes. Many people have said that. We have equity that we've built in. Living here 20 years, there's a lot of sweat equity that goes into it. So this decision is going to impact lots of families, the kids that we're sending to college, and our future retirement. So it's a big decision. Now I work and help my clients find dream homes in my current career. But I really believe that if we close these golf courses, it's going to turn into a nightmare, and that's not going to be good for anyone. I really think that a properly managed golf course is sustainable. And my challenge to this mayor and the council is to put your heads together and let's figure out a solution to this. I'm volunteering my services. I've been a banker for 33 years. I would love to help us get to that. I also think that choosing between the 36-hole option and a no-golf option is like your kid getting accepted into Harvard and you selecting or choosing to send them to community college. I think we have to figure out a way to sustain the golf courses and retain our quality of life here in Oro Valley. Thank you.
You may have mentioned your name, but I didn't catch it if you did, just for the record.
It's Bruce Baca.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for letting me talk. This really means a lot to me. I've been an Oro Valley resident for 29 years. I moved here when my son was a year old. I raised him. He's a good boy. He graduated with honors from Oro Valley High School, attended U of A, graduated from the law school, and now he's in the pharmacy school. And he wants to bring together the university communities with pharmaceutical and medical companies to try to make things more available for people and help people out. I'm very proud of my son. One of the reasons that I think he got some scholarships was because he actually started a little golf club and played on the course at El Conquistador with some of his friends. And that was kind of a thing that he was able to discuss with people in interviews and stuff. He's not much of a jock, he's more of a nerd, but he figured out how to do that. So my name is Susan Piercy, and I've lived in Oro Valley for 29 years, and I was the original builder of my home on the El Conquistador golf course. I built it to be my forever home. My mom is living in it now. I moved her in. She's 82. She can't do anything, but she sits and looks out at the flowers blooming in the backyard and the golf course behind it, and she thinks she's very lucky to be there. I want to talk about the golf course not as a line item in a budget, but as something that really brings value and a certain quality of life that is absolutely irreplaceable to Oro Valley. One of the reasons I moved here years ago is because I saw a picture in the Tucson magazine that had a family out washing their car, and the backdrop was the golf course, and behind that were those beautiful mountains. And it is really a unique thing to have the mountains as the backdrop to the golf course. So for those people who say they want to close the courses, they seem like they're in the minority to me, but you have to realize that people that have built their lives around here, around the courses, invested their money, raised their kids, my mom's living in the house, it's more than just a line item on a budget. It truly is. I love this city. I love Oro Valley. What I would like to see is a compromise to retain the 36 holes. As far as I'm concerned, the Pouche Ridge thing can go back to the hotel because the heart of Oro Valley is the area up and down the La Cañada corridor. And that's what shows up to people that come visit our city. We've got the library, the town hall, and I really appreciate you guys listening to me. I'm kind of nervous, but thank you for letting me talk finally. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mayor, Council, thanks for, my name is John Gallego. I'm a resident here. I live in the villages of La Cañada. I think it's my turn, is it? Right, I'm the last one, right?
You were one of the five.
Yeah.
I've kind of...
I'm sorry. Oh, I apologize.
No, okay. He is one of the five. I remember him specifically.
I just want to give... I'm sorry. You
just state your name. She'll have an opportunity to speak.
My name is John Gallego. I'm a resident here. I just wanted to give my history. I was born and raised here in Tucson, Arizona. So I could have lived anywhere in Tucson. I did. I lived close to Star Pass. And several years ago, we wanted to move where we have six kids. And we're like, hey, we need to get in another place. And just like everyone else said, you know, we drive up and down Oro Valley, down La Cañada. You see the golf course. And that's what I really want to say. You know, this whole thing, you know, everyone's, you know, not everyone lives right on the golf course, but it's part of, it's such a big part of it for everyone. I mean, even people that don't live here drive up and they see it. And it's such a, I guess in real estate, curb appeal. So I'm lucky enough, I do live on the golf course. I never planned on it, but I ended up getting a house and it was on the golf course. And like I wanted to say was that, you know, I lived my whole life in this town. And I came out here and I chose this place. And I'm lucky enough to live on that golf course. And 5 years ago, when the town council, or when they bought the golf course, and I heard all the ruckus, I heard everything. What I really heard real quick was that they only wanted the community center, that the golf course was kind of a byproduct. I mean, that's what I heard. Did anyone else hear that? That's what I heard. And now 5 years later, here it goes. 5 years, man. You had to manage a course for 5 years, and here we are 5 years later, and you're telling us, oh, we don't want it. Come on. I mean, everybody here, the majority of the people, and we're all tied together where we live on the golf course or not. It's all going to affect our property taxes. I mean, our property value. It's going to affect us anyway. I mean, can we figure out something to do? I believe that you can. Now, I'm in the federal government, and one of the last things that I've seen, I've worked for 34 years for them, is the last thing is government agencies being able to run anything effectively. I'm not saying that in jest. I'm really not saying that to slight you. What I am saying is this. Hey, let's think out of the box. I believe that you can do that. I really do. Prove me right. Think out of the box. You guys are smart people. You're really educated. But all the analysis that you have is not going to do anything without a good principle behind it.
Sir, that is time. Thank you.
My name's Jane Shirtliff, and I am a resident of Oro Valley. My husband and I have loved living in Oro Valley for the last 4 years. I'm not a golfer, but my husband has recently taken up the sport due to the accessibility of the community courses. I really feel this is a debate over the quality and value of Oro Valley. My husband and I moved here because of the numerous recreational opportunities and have gladly paid a premium to keep them. We feel this town's value lies in equally offering recreation with diversity. It means the golfers support the swimmers and the soccer players support the hikers. It also means maintaining our recreational venues while supporting the fire and police departments that protect us while we play. Eliminating all biases, what are Oro Valley's real recreational needs today and into the future? What makes Oro Valley an attraction to not just current and potential residents, but to tourism and new business? How will you leverage the existing recreational facilities to sustain growth, reduce tax subsidies, and hopefully someday make those amenities self-sustaining? These are the questions you should be answering before making any decisions on investing millions of dollars in closing or repurposing any recreational facility that brings in town revenue. Now, I know the Kanata Hills Neighborhood Homeowners Association has presented the town with a proposal to help offset the golf course tax subsidy via an annual contribution from its residents. There is also an opportunity to consider open land off Kanata Hills Drive, which the town already has well water access to, that could expand Lambert Park walking trails and its parking. I ask you to please meet with the Kanata Hills HOA again to discuss these things further. In addition, I believe that there is some upside to maintaining the golf courses. And one of the added benefits has been the nonprofit money raising that has come from golf tournaments. But to be able to continue to attract golf tournaments for nonprofit and other for-profit revenue, you do need to have 36 holes. Finally, I know that Mr. Mayor and the new council members believe they were elected on a platform to curb development, but that doesn't mean that we should stop all growth. We need a plan that is going to keep Oro Valley a vibrant place to live, work, and play. And at the same time, we need to ensure the tax burden does not get so big and the home values get so small that people who came here to enjoy their golden years are forced to leave because it's no longer affordable. If we don't find new creative ways to maintain revenue coming into the town, including through our existing recreational facilities, then a heavy tax burden will fall on us all.
Thank you. I lost track. Did I have the five?
That's
all right. Thank you. All right. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Well, thank you all for coming tonight and addressing council and keeping the decorum of the meeting. I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to hear from the public on this issue. I could address a number of different issues, but because time is short, I wanted to give you some idea of some of my thinking regarding this issue. As I've read your emails and considered different ideas about the golf courses, I've thought that, there is a possibility that golf is a recreational amenity that we could have in the town of Oro Valley, and it's a recreational amenity that we do have. So then the question for me became, what is the amount that would be appropriate for a town of our size to be subsidizing golf? I think one of my concerns and one of the concerns of members of the community is not just the question of the bottom line, but the balance and the mix of golf versus other amenities and how much money is being taken, particularly in capital improvements and ongoing costs. So in order to take a better look at what that would look like, I wanted to get a picture of what do municipal golf courses look like in other communities and how much is their tax subsidy. So I did some research and I solicited the staff to help me. Anytime that my numbers and theirs conflicted, I went with theirs because they contacted the jurisdictions themselves. But we looked at all towns between 20,000 people and 80,000 people. There are 20 towns that are in our size range. Only three of them run municipal golf courses. All of those have tax subsidies in the $200,000 or $400,000 range, and one is a zero tax subsidy. It's self-sufficient. I didn't feel like that was enough of a sampling size, so I wanted to look at all the towns in Arizona that were larger than that. So it ends up being 40 cities total. There are 25 courses. Granted, there are some nuances to the way that these courses are operated. They have different water prices. They have some are operated as enterprise funds. Some are leased. But some have restaurants. Some don't. But the bottom line is there's 25 courses that are owned by these municipalities that meet this requirement. And what I discovered surprised even myself, because I discovered that the total amount of losses of these 25 courses or taxpayer subsidy was $1.75 million in the previous fiscal year. And our golf course, our three golf courses paid $1.8 million. So what I found was that the town of Oro Valley, our 45,000 people or less, were paying as much or more in golf course subsidy as the entire state of Arizona in these towns combined, representing 5.5 million people and budgets of billions of dollars, or at least over $1 billion of their combined budgets. And so it's finding that mix where we can find a way that we can move forward and have, you know, recreational amenities that the entire town can use that can also be within the realm of what would be considered acceptable for golf courses and what other municipalities and others would pay. So I do have some concerns. How much time?
Vice Mayor, 1 minute.
1 minute, okay. I do have some concerns about using numbers that are forecast primarily by a supplier which runs a $5 to $6 million in revenue business from the town of Oro Valley and relying on these projections. I'd like to see more detailed financials behind those and exactly what assumptions went into those so that we as the decision makers can do some sensitivity analysis to figure out, you know, if we feel like those assumptions are consistent with the things that have happened in the past and if those assumptions are things that we feel comfortable with moving forward with. And in regards to a future meeting, I'd like to add on a future agenda, if I could, a discussion about the rezoning of the golf courses and also about having a discussion about the community center, the restaurant operations, et cetera. So that's all the time I have for tonight, and I know we'll have further conversation about this. And again, I thank you all for being here and sharing your thoughts tonight.
Councilmember Rodman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to take hopefully not my whole 5 minutes, because those of you who've been paying attention the last couple of years know that a year and a half ago, three of us voted to maintain the 36 holes and to do bonds to replace irrigation systems and to redo the overlook, et cetera, because we had 4 years or 3 years at that time worth of information. And we saw, and the projections were that it was going to get better, not worse. And in fact, that has been the case. Somebody mentioned earlier that we have a $400,000 increase in the community center fund in this last year. We're projecting again to have to not spend the entire half-cent sales tax. And that seems those projections have turned out to be true. At the very beginning of this, when no one really knew what was going to happen, the budget numbers were more of a shot in the dark, and so they weren't as accurate, but they have been very accurate in the last 3 years. And the projections have. We have one of the best golf course management groups in the world, not just in this country or in Arizona, in Troon. They have been, we let them loose 2 years ago when we had an election, and those of us who said, we're going to run because what we want to do is we want to look at the golf course. We weren't involved in buying it, but we are involved now in being elected and trying to be sure we understand how this works. We're the ones that pushed that council to have the consultants hired to go through all the various options. Their recommendation was 27 holes, and I thought that was the right answer at the time, and I said it. However, by the time we got around to actually putting something into the budget a year and a half ago, Troon came back and said, you know what, we can do it. We can keep the 36 holes. We can get the same or better results than the 27 holes. We can do the turf reduction. We can do the leveling of the tees. We can fix the bunkers, all the things that needed to be done and that were, in fact, part of the consultant's report for 27 holes. We can do all of that, and we'll do it for $3.8 million. We'll figure out a way to get it done. I asked them again and again. They came back again with the numbers. I said, you got to look at it. You got to convince me that that's the case. And they did. So that's why I voted in favor of the budget then. When the new group came in here and was elected, they had every right to look at their own examination. I felt it in all due respect that I would keep an open mind. I'd see again, since things changed over the first 3 years, would it change? Would it change to the negative? What would happen? So I said to myself, all right, I know what I did do. Let's see what's happened since then, and let's see whether or not I need to change my mind. So far in this last 8 months, 9 months, I haven't heard anything that changes my mind. If anything, the situation is better. If anything, the numbers are better, and the things that we heard tonight, I don't think this is a numbers thing, because I've looked at all the various examinations from everybody who's looked at how to put these numbers together, and you don't get very far apart. You just don't. And so now you look at what does it mean to the quality of life in our town. We had a bunch of economic development people come in and talk to us last week. And one of the things they talked about was quality of life for the employees, which is what the management and CEOs of companies where they're looking to relocate or locate look at. Well, this golf course complex and the community center is a major quality of life contribution, and I think we need to hear that. We heard tonight what it means to the people, not just those of us who suffer in golf, but those what it meant to be able to find the social circle and make the friends and work together in a town to make it even better than it was, and how important this complex was to the center of this town. So I hear that again, and that's what I've heard again. You could have guessed where I would be leaning toward, but I promise you I've kept an open mind, and I will continue. We have a Budget and Finance Commission that has not weighed in yet.
1 minute, council member.
I've been very disappointed that that's the case. I think they could have. However, very complicated situation, and they've only really had two meetings to look at it. One of the things that David Newell said, and I do like much of what's in his, not all, is one of the things he put in there was the unfunded liability and pensions. And some of you have heard about this, maybe all of you have. But I want to make it very clear that it was already in our budget before this became a crisis du jour, that we were going to, because PSPRS, the pension trustees, had said we need to pay $3 million in this current budget to the PSPRS. $2 million of that was to pay toward the unfunded liability. So we were already paying toward the $23 million. We are doing exactly what they ask us to do, and that's what we've done every year. So I don't believe that we need to put these two things together, the golf course and the unfunded liability. I don't think they're related.
That's time, Councilmember Rodman.
Thank you.
Councilmember Nicholson.
First, I want to thank the church, the staff, everyone to put this together, and I especially want to thank everyone that's here tonight, the decorum, everyone here. That's why I love Oro Valley, is because of the people. Like, to have this contentious of a meeting, have how nice everyone was tonight really makes me proud to be a council member in Oro Valley. I also want to reach out to three specific people, Steve Jones, Greg Kishi, and Guy Cook. I'm a member on my HOA board, and I know it can be a really thankless job, and they do a really, really good job trying to represent you guys, and they reach out to us all the time. They are very reasonable, and they represent you guys well, and try not to give them a hard time, because they're just the messengers. We're the people. If you want to direct any anger, it's right here. But one thing I want to talk about is the projections. When the golf course was taken over, at this time this year, the revenue from the golf courses was supposed to be break-even. So this tax subsidy was supposed to be used to do all the repairs. So one of my big concerns, and when I ran, the concerns I still have, is the projections of the income. I know the income has gone up a little bit, but our economy has gotten really good over the several years. Our economy may not be as well in the next few years. Vistosa is closed. Obviously, that would help us bump to, obviously, our own neighbors, our own community members up in Rancho Vistosa. It's hard for them to see their golf course go down, and then the tax subsidy also being used to help theirs out. So I just hope everyone keeps that in mind when we do discuss things. And one thing about Troon, I know Troon is really good. They do a great job. They have beautiful courses. I know that. But I do think it comes at a cost. I do think they are expensive. You know, earlier this year, we did take away the tennis operations, and we saved $200,000 just by doing that one thing. And the tennis people were very happy about it. They loved the situation that they were in, and we also saved $200,000. I'm not saying that if we got rid of Troon, we'd automatically save money, but I don't know, and that's something I want to find out. Another thing that I always try and do is try and find win-win situations. I love to see that the HOA is trying to put money into the situation, and I kind of would like to ask Gary real quick, like, how do we know that that will continue on into perpetuity, or however long we have the golf courses? It's a question.
Not sure I understand the question. Can you repeat it?
So if the HOAs do say that they're going to give $200,000 a year, or whatever the amount may be, how do we know that that's going to continue on so we can make the investments, and if that's a decision that we make?
We have to have a really well-written contract.
Okay. All right. So it's possible. Another win-win situation. So we heard from the fire department. We heard from people talking about property values, about our tax income, or about our taxes not coming in. Another question I had was, we also pay a lot of money towards our water costs. And I know our water costs are a lot more higher than everyone else's. And John Eisenberger did talk about the Crooked Tree, how they only spend $64,000 a year. Well, it's because Pima County basically discounts their own water to their own golf courses. And I don't know if there's some possibility for a win-win with Pima County to show them, like, hey, look, this may help your property taxes. You guys get more money. Why don't you subsidize the water to a teeny tiny Oro Valley compared to Pima County? Maybe there's a solution there where we can reduce our water costs, and it's a win-win for everyone. Unless, we're out of time. So I'd just like to say thank you to all. We're all one community, and we just got to stick together. And, you know, we're going to work through this. It's not going to be something that we do overnight. We ran long tonight because we were trying to listen to as many blue cards. And I want to apologize myself for not being able to listen to every single one of the blue cards. We are in a time crunch. We have to be done in 10 minutes. And thank you very much. I love you all. Thanks.
Thank you. Council Member Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to thank everybody for being here this evening. It's been a long evening, and thank you for your time and effort to be here. One of the things that we've had going back and forth that I've listened to is a lot of questions about the pro formas and the projections. And I'll just say that, yes, I think when this first happened, when this first was purchased and the projections were completed, there were probably some inflated things going on because of probably unknowns and whatnot. Since then, to Councilmember Rodman's comments, there has been some improvement with the golf courses. So what I would like to say is one of the things that I have faith in is the staff's numbers. We have approved the most recent budget, the 2019-2020 budget. That was a very large budget with which all council members approved. The staff had to put those numbers together. They must have been reliant because we all approved that budget. So I think when we look at numbers coming from the staff and from Troon based on audited numbers, whether we like those figures or not, from the beginning, they were reported, they were audited. And so I think with the reliance that we put on them with approving a budget, I think there's some merit to what our staff does, and also with these projections. Along with those projections and assumptions, what it has shown, we received our estimated financial investments. And while I do think, and I think there's merit that people have in that, okay, what is this going to cost the town in the long run? But with these projections and with what I feel is goodwill on behalf of the HOAs, if we look at the 36-hole option, the tax support with that amount that's invested, it actually comes out to almost equal to an 18-hole option. So I would venture to say that that's something that I would like to look into more as far as the contribution. And I think that plays really good with when we talk about community. This has been an exercise in bringing the community together and trying to come up with a solution. And so I compliment the work that went into that. And the other thing that I think is really important that's been brought up tonight is the water issue. And I just want to say that there's $743,000 that the town pays essentially to itself. Even though it's the water utility, it's an enterprise fund, but we are our own customer. So what does that mean? That means that that has to be made up. So I would, with whatever little time I have left, a lot of my colleagues here have brought up qualitative and quantitative items as well as all of you tonight, so I don't need to go over that again. But I'd like to invite Peter Abraham, our water utility director, up, because, Peter, I would like to understand the net revenue loss of $469,000 in water that's paid to the town. How is that going to be made up?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Pena, so, you know, looking at when you talk about the gross revenue shortfall of $743,000, that's for a 36-hole loss or losing two golf courses. That's the gross revenue shortfall. If we take out the operating costs it takes for the water utility to deliver that water to our customer, the net revenue loss is a little under $470,000. So that is a revenue loss. And there's several different ways to make up revenue losses. You can raise rates. You can defer capital. You can...
1 minute, Council Member.
You cannot purchase the water resources you were going to purchase. So there's we will have to make up the revenue loss, and there's different ways of doing that.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So what I would like to go a little bit further on that is that I have a concern. That's that unintended consequence, because what before the town bought it, when it had a private owner, that water bill was still being paid, and it was still helping with the water rates to keep them down or keep them stabilized with all the water users. So I just want to say that that's something that I want to make sure that we really look at, so that it doesn't have a negative impact on our water users, because it's my understanding that would affect our reclaimed water users, which are schools. It would affect the Sun City course, and it would also affect the Stone Canyon course. The other items that I think are important as well is getting a direction to staff.
That's time, Councilmember Pena.
Thank you.
Councilmember Solomon.
Several topics. First, financials. The town of Oro Valley is in excellent financial condition. We have run $2 million plus surpluses for the last 8 years. The golf course is not a financial crisis to the town of Oro Valley. All parks and recs cost money. We spend $600,000 to $700,000 a year on the pool. Not everyone in the town uses the pool. We have now 5 years of accurate numbers that have been audited for the golf course. This is not 5 years ago when we had to guess. The numbers are solid. The last two budget years, the staff and Troon, who are experts in this area, have projected highly accurately the costs of golf and the income. The projections we have now that are summarized here are based on those hard audited numbers. These are reliable with plus or minus 10%. Of the financial situations, none, including no golf, cut the half-cent sales tax. All of these rely on that to an extent. The lowest amount is actually the 36 holes of golf if you look at the total estimated annual sales tax support. We don't need to change a thing. This shows that our cost or support will be decreasing over time. Next is community impact. We've heard the golf course is an asset. People come here for it. It's an economic engine. It brings in tourism. What is a linear park? It's a solution looking for a problem. No one has ever asked for a linear park. I've never heard of it until the last few months. We have 54 miles of walking trails with benches and exercise equipment available to every resident of this community. The change will create enormous uncertainty, and we've already seen the effects on property values. Property values in the golf course communities will be decimated. There'll be an effect throughout the entire community. Next, public input. This is how we get public input. We put out notices for meetings, for public hearings. We had 720 residents appear tonight, the largest we have ever had on any issue. It's been 100-1 in favor of keeping the 36 holes of golf. We don't need a statistically valid survey. This is our process. Everyone in this town could have come tonight or could have emailed the town council if they were interested in this particular topic. You are the folks who are interested and have shown up, and as I said, our emails have been running 100-1 in favor of the golf course. So that is the public's input. Finally, time. We've been on this for 5 years now. We didn't just start this a month ago or in January. Everyone talks about time. We've studied this and studied this. We've had consultants study it. This is not our first projection. A year and a half ago, based on the same information, well, actually now we have more numbers that have supported that, it was obvious that the solution is 36 holes of golf. That's still obvious today. Time is indeed of the essence. We cannot study this forever. It is ruining the lives of people in the golf course communities. These numbers will not change. The town council makes the decisions, not the finance and budget committee. They are a group of volunteers with financial backgrounds but not expertise in golf. They have to take the exact same numbers that staff took that went into this report. Their numbers have to be within a few percent of these. The
one
only
minute, council member?
Are the assumptions. 1 minute left, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Now you're at 54.
The assumptions are driven by the experts in the field, and we have them. The people on the Finance and Budget Committee are not experts in golf and those assumptions. If they come up with a whole different set of numbers, we got a major problem, because I think town staff and Schoon have the right numbers. No one has any basis whatsoever to question their numbers. They've been audited by outside agencies, and people who say we don't believe their numbers are just pulling a rabbit out of their hat because they don't like golf for some reason. That is not a valid argument. I believe this council has had enough time. I believe we have the information. The only information we don't have is the what if for a linear park that we know is going to cost more money than a golf course and is totally underestimated. We know the golf course works. We know it's getting
better.
That's
time, Councilmember Solomon.
Thank you.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Thank you, Mayor. I also want to thank all of you for coming out this evening. It's been a long evening for us. I basically just want to share with you that I'm really not at a decision-making point right now. I have listened to what you all have shared with us, and I am hearing, and I will take that under consideration. Some of the things that concern me right now are golf trends. I know that I heard some of you mention that in the last couple of years numbers have been going up, but I'm not seeing that in our community. The other thing I'd like to really take a real hard look at is repurposing. I really would like to get some figures, some good hard figures on repurposing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your being present here this evening. I apologize that we were not able to receive all of you that wanted an opportunity to speak. Again, I invite you to submit letters or to join us a week from this evening. And in regards to the financial numbers that have been spoken about, in our February listening session, there was a gentleman that spoke that said, just give us one set of numbers. And so the town has provided numbers. The budget and finance has actually taken their numbers. And I think what needs to, what I would like to have happen is for the staff to work with the Budget and Finance Commission so that we have one set of numbers, so that we're on the same board with assumptions, so that we're starting with the same baseline of figures. And we're not going to necessarily agree with all of the projections, but we can come together on the assumptions and on the baselines and running those numbers. And I believe if staff and the Budget and Finance Commission will work together, that we can arrive at one set of numbers that we can all agree to. Right at the moment, the two projections are too significantly apart. And so there needs to be more work between the town staff and the Budget and Finance Commission. The other thing that I think, the other thing that is important is to secure the services of a professional landscape architect to assess the potential for repurposing some portion of the courses so that we have information, so that we have financial information that is accurate and specific to these courses. Let me just speak to two things, and that is that I understand the concern about property values. Believe me. And so I'd like to share with you some of the research that I've done. Kelly Sutterberg, assistant professor in the School of Landscape Architecture and Planning at the University of Arizona, writes, hundreds of golf course facilities are closing nationally in the U.S. each year. She cites the National Golf Foundation 2019. When a golf course facility closes, homeowners become uncertain of how the land use change might affect their property values. Homeowners and stakeholders concerned about property values in golf course communities faced with golf course closures should feel confident that supporting a change to a public park or open space would not decrease the value of the property. The Kenyatta Hills Community Association Board of Directors commissioned a property value assessment report. In that report, it states, according to an article published by American Trails in 2000 and 2001, analyzed more than 16,400 home sales in Portland, Oregon, found that open spaces such as parks and recreation areas can have a positive effect on nearby residents' property value. Homes located within 1,500 feet, and in this report, it spoke of natural forest acres. Of course, our equivalent to national forest is our natural desert, enjoyed statistically significant property premiums. Although this article emphasized open spaces, the consultant explained the benefits and premiums also apply to golf courses. In another report, the Walton Family Foundation and People for Bikes commissioned a report dated, and this is a more recent report, March 21st, 2018.
One minute, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It's titled Economic and Health Benefits of Bicycling in Northwest Arkansas. The consultants determined that a home's proximity to shared use paved trails is associated with an increase in its sale price. This same report presents a model for home sale price of the typical Arkansas home in different distances of trail facilities. The model suggests there's an increase in the sales premium that accompanies living close to shared use paved trails. You know, there are numerous reports and other things that I could cite that support that home values as it relates to open spaces, trail systems, paved trails, and I believe that it's important to give consideration to all the options that are on the table. Thank you for being here this evening. Again, we appreciate the Church of the Nazarene for making this facility available. I invite you to continue with us next Wednesday, and I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.